happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military.
I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their internet. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so, last night the Democrats were supposed to bring up the bipartisan infrastructure bill for a vote. They did not, because they could not get the progressives on board. And they couldn't get the progressives on board because they couldn't get the Senate moderates on board for their $3.5 trillion boondoggle. Meanwhile, speeding down the tracks is the debt ceiling. So the debt ceiling is supposed to be hit in approximately the next couple of weeks. Democrats are trying to get Republicans to sign on to a debt ceiling increase. Republicans are saying, we are not going to allow you to take out a second credit card, knowing that you're about to blow out the spending. And so why would we allow you to do that? We need a sort of restructuring deal here. We need to make sure that we get some sort of spending concessions from you at this point, which has led the Biden administration to make the argument that we should get rid of the debt ceiling once and for all. So to understand why the debt ceiling is kind of important, you have to understand the history of how spending has been done in the United States historically. So if you go all the way back to the founding, for basically the first 130 years of the existence of the United States, anytime Congress wanted to authorize the government to take out debt, they had to pass a specific bill that authorized exactly how that debt was to be taken out, which seems like a pretty good idea, right? It puts the responsibility where the responsibility ought to be, with the legislature. Right? Congress would actually have to authorize a loan, or they'd have to allow Treasury to issue bonds, for example. But it would be up to Congress. Congress would actually have to authorize the executive branch to do this, which makes sense. They are the legislative branch. The executive branch is the executive branch. And then, in about 1917, Congress decided they were going to abdicate responsibility on this thing by creating the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling, the idea was that they would just tell the executive branch how much debt they were authorized to take out. Right now, attached to a war, it makes a certain amount of sense, you would assume, because the executive branch is running the war. The executive branch needs to take out more debt on a short-term basis because, obviously, there are battle contingencies. But in the middle of a not war, getting rid of the specific authorization for taking out debt is really just a way for Congress to kick the can down the road without actually having to be held responsible for doing any of this stuff. Like, imagine that every time Congress passed a spending bill, they also had to pass a bill saying, we authorize the Treasury Department to take out this amount of debt on the open market. It would make everybody think for just a second, is this actually worth it? Congress doesn't want you to think, is it actually worth it? So instead, they pass these giant blunderbuss packages, and they raise the debt ceiling at the same time. Hey, well, that was the rule up until about the 1970s. Okay, then in the 1970s, there was a problem, which was that the government kept running up against the debt ceiling. So Dick Gephardt was a former congressperson from Iowa. Gephardt imposed the so-called Gephardt rule. Okay, this was a rule that suggested the debt ceiling was automatically raised anytime a budget was passed. You didn't actually have to pass a separate debt ceiling bill. You would just pass the budget, and that itself would be the authorization for the government to take out additional debt. Then, during the Gingrich Revolution of the 90s, this was reversed. So in 1995, Congress said, no, we're not doing it this way anymore. We are not going to simply pretend that every time we authorize spending, the federal government has the ability to go out and take debt. Instead, we do have to take some of the blame or credit for raising the debt ceiling, so we're going to bring back the debt ceiling debate. Now, in reality, we have to go back to the original system. Congress ought to have to specifically authorize precisely what sort of debt instrument needs to be used by the executive branch every time they spend. The reason they really should have to do that is because, again, they should be forced to consider the consequences of the spending that they do. But we have both a legislative branch and an executive branch that seem to want to just spend without any sort of end at all. Now, a lot of this is sort of a riff on modern monetary theory, which is this idiotic idea that the federal government can spend as much money as it could possibly want for literally the rest of time, because nobody is ever going to see the full faith and credit of the United States as endowed. And we are always going to be the world's strongest economy. We are always going to be the world's strongest currency. And if we aren't, well, we'll deal with that when we come to it. Janet Yellen, who, remember, was the head of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve was supposed to be a nonpartisan, non-political board. And it is their job to see that the inflation rates remain low and that employment remains high. So Janet Yellen was supposed to be this nonpartisan person. Of course, that Chinese fence, the Chinese screen between the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve was obliterated long ago, but Janet Yellen has made clear just how fast that was obliterated. She moved directly from the Federal Reserve to the Treasury Department, where she has been now advocating to get rid of the debt ceiling entirely. The idea being that any time Congress just passes something, it should automatically raise the debt ceiling so we can go out and we can borrow for it. And there will be no leverage to lower spending any time in the future. Remember, the debt ceiling instrument has been used a couple of times in the past 10 years in order to lower spending or in order to jar certain political items loose. And it's not just a Republican thing. In 2006, Nancy Pelosi actually held up the debt ceiling in order to try and pry concessions from the Bush administration. But most famously, the debt ceiling debate was hit during the Boehner time as Speaker of the House, and the result was sequestration, which was a lowering of the rate of increase in government spending in the federal government. It was pretty controversial because Barack Obama insisted that half the cuts come from defense if there were going to be any cuts, because Barack Obama hated the Defense Department. But it was at least an instrument for attempting to lower the amount of money we spend. Now, we have the executive branch saying we want to spend without end, and we don't want any sort of congressional check on how much we can take out in order to pay for your spending. So this is breaking down along partisan lines. Frankly, you know, I'm at least mildly pleased that even Republicans are not on board with getting rid of the debt ceiling entirely. But here's Janet Yellen making the case.
Would you support simply eliminating the debt ceiling so that we don't have to deal with this in the future and can focus on real crises?
Yes, I would. If to finance those spending and tax decisions, it's necessary to issue additional debt, I believe it's very destructive to put the president and myself, the Treasury Secretary, in a situation where we might be unable to pay the bills that result from those past decisions.
Okay, the debt ceiling is a natural constraint on the growth of government. It at least provides a leverage point for reducing the growth of government. Janet Yellen wants it gone. And this is the entire theory of the Biden administration. There should be no limits on spending. It's spend, spend, spend until daddy takes the T-bird away. And when daddy takes the T-bird away, we hit austerity measures. We have to radically increase taxes. We have to cut benefits. And this has happened across Europe. So it's not as though this is unforeseeable. It is completely and utterly foreseeable. Not only that, when you ratchet up the spending, and at the same time you ratchet up the taxes and regulation, which is exactly what the Biden administration is seeking to do, all you end up doing is blowing money into an economy that is stagnating. Right? That's how you get stagflation. That's how you get the 1970s. Now, you can get economic stagnation without inflation. That's Japan in the 1990s, when regulation and lack of entrepreneurship basically destroyed the Japanese economy for more than a decade. That is, I think, a high probability at this point, and even Biden is recognizing that. He's forecasting over the course of the next decade less than a 2% rate of growth to the American GDP, which is a really rotten rate of growth. Okay, but you get stagflation if you have that rapid, that terrible stagnation, plus the federal government attempting to pour money into the system via forced subsidies. The Wall Street Journal has a piece today titled "Stock Market's September Slump Exposes Its Messy Underside." Again, we now not only have the COVID vaccines, but now we have reports that Merck is coming out with a once-a-day pill that reduces the possibility of hospitalization and death from COVID, even if you get infected, by 50%. So we're coming up with excellent new therapeutics. We already have a vaccine that is highly effective. This pandemic, from a public policy perspective, is now over. But the Biden administration can't let it go. And not just that, they are firmly committed to this fiscal policy, which is really about the reorganizing of American life along social democratic lines, which has a cost. Right? Even Sweden, which embraced the so-called third way, this vast spending, vast taxation initiative in the 1970s, they had to get rid of a lot of those taxes and a lot of that spending, specifically because it didn't pay for itself. They had to free up their economy. In their studies by which the Nordic countries actually have freer business regimens and business markets than the United States does. They have less regulations. They have more ease in beginning a business in many of these countries than the United States does at this point. So the United States is going down a really bad path right here. Says the Wall Street Journal, markets tumbled to end the quarter, sending the S&P 500 to its worst monthly pullback since the pandemic-fueled sell-off of March 2020. Stocks began the day higher, only to slump in the following hours. The S&P 500 wound up falling 1.2% to 4,307.54 on Thursday, nearly erasing the entirety of its gains for the entire quarter. The DJIA, the Dow Jones, it shed 1.6%. As well, it suffered its first quarterly loss since the first 3 months of 2020. Now remember, this was the year when everything was supposed to just be guns blazing, gung-ho, no-holds-barred growth. Not really. Central bankers who were thinking this year's rise in inflation would wind up being a short-term phenomenon aren't sure how long transitory pressures will persist. Strategists who had predicted another strong quarter of economic growth are cutting estimates because of supply chain bottlenecks and the highly contagious Delta variants of COVID-19. Economic data have also been falling short of expectations. Citigroup's Economic Surprise Index, which tracks how much U.S. reports have been exceeding or undershooting estimates, fell this month to its lowest level since June 2020. The month proved a major setback for stocks, with all but one of the S&P 500's 11 sectors finishing lower in September. The S&P 500 is still up 15% for the year. It managed to squeeze out a sixth straight quarter of gains. The index is just a few percentage points away from its record close hit in early September. But not everything is moving together. The stock market is probably going to continue to gain, but not nearly as fast as people thought it was going to. The bond market has also caught many investors off guard. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note flitted above a narrow range for much of the quarter, only to stage a six-day rise above 1.5% between last week and Tuesday. That was the biggest such advance since June 2020. The move came after the Federal Reserve indicated it was ready to begin reversing its pandemic stimulus programs as early as November and considering raising interest rates next year, given a jump in inflation. Lizanne Saunders, chief investment strategist for Charles Schwab, says even though there's all this discussion about the market being resilient, the churn under the surface has shown more weakness. Saunders attributes the swift rotations taking place in the market to a bevy of investor worry. She says you have concerns about the virus, you have concerns about the debt ceiling, you have mixed economic data, and you've got uncertainty about monetary policy. She says, I don't know that we're going to get out of this mode anytime soon. And then there's inflation, which is also hitting and not going away. Remember, we were told this was transitory. We are now in October. This is not transitory inflation any longer. This has been continuous month-on-month inflation since the beginning of the year. Now, are we in full crisis mode at this point, given the fact that the debt ceiling is about to be hit and all of this? No, Democrats can pass the debt ceiling anytime they want. They can pass it as a clean bill. If they just brought up a debt ceiling increase and voted along reconciliation lines without any Republican support to raise the debt ceiling, they could. The reason that they won't do that is because they want to save that bullet. Understand, the reconciliation process can only be used three times a year. If they use it on the debt ceiling, they can't use it on some other piece of boondoggle legislation they would like to push. What they did do is they passed a short-term spending bill that averted a government shutdown. That extends for another couple of weeks. That was bipartisan. The Senate voted 65-35, the House 254-175. Lawmakers reached a deal, according to the New York Times, on the spending legislation after Democrats agreed to strip out a provision that would have raised the federal government's ability to continue borrowing funds through the end of 2022. The legislation keeps the government fully funded through December 3rd, which gives lawmakers additional time to reach consensus over the dozen annual spending bills that dictate federal spending. So we are not going to get a government shutdown, at least for the next couple of months. But meanwhile, the underlying worries continue because the underlying economic theory of this administration is very, very wrong and very, very bad. So Nancy Pelosi is ripping Mitch McConnell. She says he's playing Russian roulette by not raising the debt ceiling. Is he, though? Because you guys can pass the debt ceiling anytime you want. You have a majority in the Senate of the United States.
As Mitch McConnell himself has said about the need to address the debt limit, this is what he said last time. Don't play Russian roulette with our economy. Quote, yet that is exactly what he is doing, playing Russian roulette. Interesting that he's playing Russian roulette with our economy and with
the financial security
and the well-being of America's working families.
She's so crazy. She's so crazy. Okay, notice Russian. She does this now with everything, right? Ever since the Russian collusion crap, every time she says the word Russian, she's like, interesting that it's Russian, isn't it? Every time she goes to a restaurant and the waiter's like, well, we do have this Caesar salad with Russian dressing. She's like, interesting, Russian. What mean you by this? She's so crazy. Okay, but again, what this has to do with is an overall spending package and feeling toward how the economy ought to work, not in conjunction with reality. that is going to lead to some pretty dire economic consequences. We'll get to more of that in just 1 second. First, summer is coming to an end. The leaves are about to fall. While Mother Nature does her thing to prepare you for the new season, you can do yours. Get free life insurance quotes with Policy Genius. Here's the thing. If you're a responsible human, you need life insurance. Let's say that you're just walking down the street, and all of a sudden, a rampaging mob of bulls just charges at you from behind. And as their hooves hit you in the skull, you think to yourself, man, I should have gotten life insurance. Don't let that be you. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now and check them out. They make it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you. They don't work for the insurance companies. So you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. The exclusive policy recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Visto. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get started today. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, he says, oh yeah, you know, we were saying inflation was going to be transitory. Not so much. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Do you take a lot of medicine or take care of someone that does? Hero is the new smart device that makes life easier by pre-sorting a 90-day supply of up to 10 different pills. Just pour them in and Hero does the rest.
So easy to use and saves me so much time. I never miss a dose. I'm never late for a dose anymore. And that is so critical to me.
What I like best about my Hero is that it's so easy to set up and it's so easy to use. And I don't have to worry about my pills or get distracted and forget, did I take that pill or not? Because it reminds me.
It alerts and dispenses with the push of a button. Plus, Hero sends a friendly alert to you and a caregiver.
Hero is amazing, but you could even live out of state with the person and still program their Hero from the convenience of your phone.
I feel better than I have ever felt simply because I have this device.
Try Hero risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it.
Call 800-608-9432. That's 800-608-9432. 800-608-9432. Call now.
Paid for by Hero Health Incorporated.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So remember that time that inflation was supposed to be transitory? Everything was going to be hunky-dory? Well, now the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, he's like, it might last till next year. Remember, they said that this was going to be transitory. Not so transitory anymore.
It is frustrating to acknowledge that getting people vaccinated and getting Delta under control 18 months later, still remains the most important economic policy that we have. And it's also frustrating to see the bottlenecks and supply chain problems not getting better. In fact, at the margin, apparently getting a little bit worse. And that's what has we see that continuing into next year probably, and holding inflation up longer than we had thought.
Whoops. All these experts who don't expect inflation when you just blow money into the economy. Who would have thought that? Shocker. Yeah, but again, all of this has to do with a generalized Biden administration and Democratic overlook, which is that spending money is an inherent good and private investment is an inherent bad. And the most obvious example of this perspective is something that I've talked about over the past couple of weeks. And that is the person that Joe Biden is trying to suggest as comptroller of the currency. According to the Wall Street Journal, President Biden checked off another progressive identity box last week by nominating Saul Omarova as comptroller of the currency. Some Trump appointees were ridiculed for having supported the elimination of their agencies. Ms. Omarova wants to eliminate the banks she's being appointed to regulate. The Cornell University Law School professor's radical ideas might even make Bernie Sanders blush. She graduated from Moscow State University in 1989 on the Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship. 30 years later, she still believes the Soviet economic system was superior and that U.S. banking should be remade in the Gosbank's image. Until I came to the U.S., I couldn't imagine that things like gender pay gap still existed in today's world. Say what you will about the old USSR, there was no gender pay gap there. Market doesn't always know best, she tweeted in 2019. In 2019, it's true, there was no gender pay gap in the USSR because everyone was poor. Because it was a communist country where people didn't have jobs and lived in penury. That would be why. Also, it seems that Soviet women were not exactly operating at the same exact level as Soviet men. And the suggestion that everybody's operating at perfectly equal levels in the Soviet Union is rather ignorant of history and economics. Then she said, I never claimed women and men were treated absolutely equally in every facet of Soviet life. But people's salaries were set by the state in a gender-blind manner, and all women got very generous maternity benefits. Both things are still a pipe dream in our society. It sounds like Bernie Sanders talking about the Cuban healthcare system. Sure, every so often they would take you and they would throw you in jail, and they might kill members of your family. And sure, your uncle had to float in a car from Havana to Miami. But they have great, great basic healthcare. You gotta give them that, literacy. Omarova thinks asset prices, pay scales, capital, and credit should be dictated by the federal government. In two papers, she's advocated expanding the Federal Reserve's mandate to include the price levels of systemically important financial assets as well as worker wages. She doesn't just want the Federal Reserve. Again, remember, this is the executive branch, not the legislative branch. First of all, the legislative branch should not have any power to do this either. Price and wage controls are not in the purview of the federal government. Frankly, they shouldn't be in the purview of the state government either, but they certainly are not in the purview of the federal government. Constitutionally speaking, nothing in the federal government's mandate of power, the Constitution of the United States, gives them the power to federally set wages or prices. That is not a thing. Okay, but even if you thought it were a thing, it would reside at the legislative level, not at the executive branch level. She wants it to reside inside the Federal Reserve, which is not even answerable to the executive branch. It's an independent agency. In a recent paper, The People's Ledger, she effectively proposed the Federal Reserve take over consumer bank deposits, end banking as we know it, and become a public platform for generating, modulating, and allocating financial resources in a modern economy. So the Federal Reserve would now become the lender to the American people. Want a mortgage? You go to the Federal Reserve. Want a business loan? You go to the Federal Reserve. Now, if you think that the Federal Reserve has a great history of this sort of stuff, I suggest that you take a look at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac from, say, 1999 to 2007. See how well that went. It turns out that when the government runs the lending programs, they bias toward the people who are more likely to be politically beneficial to them. And their top priority is not, in fact, profitability or any measure of the durability of the lending instrument. Instead, the only thing they care about is what it gets done politically, which is disastrous, obviously. She wants the U.S. to create a central bank digital currency, Fedcoin, to redesign our financial system and turn the Fed's balance sheet into a true people's ledger. She also believes that there should be a national investment authority with members overseen by an advisory board of academics to finance a big, bold climate agenda. So, you know, a giant infrastructure bank, a green infrastructure bank. She wants a public interest council of highly paid academics with broad subpoena power to supervise financial regulatory agencies, including the Fed, without any constraints or requirements of the administrative process. If she were appointed comptroller, she would supervise about 1,200 financial institutions. She could punish banks that did not follow her diktats. Even Janet Yellen was like, this is too much for us. And Biden was like, well, going to do it anyway. Biden is going to do it anyway. Genius. Genius is in charge. Alrighty, coming up, it's the Progressives versus Joe Manchin, and they just can't understand why Joe Manchin being Joe Manchin. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 9th at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. There will be three different waves of activity. The first is a race wave for those who are competitive, a second wave, a run wave for those who like to run for fun, and a third wave, a walk wave for those who prefer a leisurely stroll. Whether you like to run or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk for only $35 for the run and $25 for the walk at carenet.redding.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center here in Redding. Once you sign up online, you'll receive a link to create your own fundraising page where you can also draw support from those who are unable to attend. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus following the race for participants. It's a great way to start your day with the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. Sign up online today at carenet.redding.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Borders.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Manchin is crushing progressive dreams. The infrastructure bill is being held up right now by progressives in the House who want some sort of commitment from Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema that they will vote for Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion package. Manchin and Sinema are like, no, we're not doing that. So the progressives are like, okay, well, we will hold up the infrastructure bill until you do that. That's not going to work. The reason that's not going to work is because Joe Manchin is from West Virginia and Kristen Sinema is from Arizona. Kristen Sinema only won by about 3% in the last election cycle. The only chance she has of holding that seat is being a maverick-style Democrat in the same way that John McCain was a maverick-style Republican. Joe Manchin is in the reddest state in America. Donald Trump won West Virginia by 40%. I don't mean he won 40%. I mean the margin of victory was 40% for Donald Trump in West Virginia, and yet they have a Democratic senator in Joe Manchin, which means that Manchin's actual political sort of future rests on him standing in the gap and saying to Democrats, no, we are not going to spend this kind of money, so he can go back to his constituents and say, listen, if you elect a Republican, they'll just be one more Republican among the rest of the Republicans. If you keep electing me, then I'm part of the Democratic coalition and I will stand up against the more rapacious aspect of the Democratic financial plan. And so this is a real holdup for the Democrats, no question. But I want to point something out, and that is how this debate is going. It's really quite fascinating. So normally, when you have a giant bill that is on the table, the details of the bill are what gets debated. When it was Obamacare, there were significant talks about exactly what was the mandate going to be? What were the penalties going to be? What kinds of plans were going to be available? Would there be a public option? Would there not be a public option? What would be encompassed in terms of what insurance companies were forced to cover? How would you deal with pre-existing conditions, right? These were all policy debates that were happening over Obamacare. By the way, Obamacare was projected to cost like $1 trillion. It'll cost about $2 trillion after all is said and done. Okay, this right now, what we're talking about is at least twice that size. It's probably $5 trillion when it's from the list price to the actual price, you're talking about probably a 5X differential from Obamacare. Okay, but put aside the price. That is the only thing that anyone can, like, do you know what's in the bill? You might know what's in the bill a little bit because I've talked about what's in the bill, right? Namely, a bunch of child tax credits that are not means tested, which is basically just a government giveaway. They also have a marriage penalty attached. We've talked about the community college funding. We've talked about the attempt to essentially make Head Start universal. Right? There's a bunch of stuff, the climate change proposals. I've talked about it, but that is not what you hear in the media. What you hear in the media is just the top line number. All that matters is the top line number, not the contents of the bill. Now, normally, the way that you'd make a case for a bill like this is, here's a bunch of good stuff we want to do, and here's how much money it's going to cost. If you don't like the cost, it's because you want to stop the good stuff we want to do. No one is talking about that bill in these terms. They are just talking about that bill in terms of, if you want $3.5 trillion, you are good. If you want less than $3.5 trillion, you are bad. It is all about the top line number. Why? Because the bottom line Democratic idea here is that all that matters is the spending. It doesn't matter where you spend it. It doesn't matter how you spend it. It doesn't matter what programs are involved. The only thing that matters is that you blow money out, that you make people more dependent. And you could just helicopter this cash over the center of the United States, and the Democrats would be happy. It does not matter what programs are actually effectuated with the cash, which is why there are not any negotiations that are really happening between the progressives and the moderates, where the moderates say, listen, we got to curb this particular plan right here because we don't think it's good enough. And the progressives are like, well, if you're going to do that, we need to up the game right here because here's what we're trying to accomplish. Nobody's talking about what they are trying to accomplish because the dirty secret is everyone knows what they're trying to accomplish. And that is the maximization of government intrusion into your life via either subsidies or regulation. That is what they're trying to accomplish. So they never discuss the details. The numbers are just a proxy for we want to run all aspects of your life and we want to fund all aspects of your life, or we want to fund slightly less of your life. Slightly fewer aspects of your life. That is why they only talk in terms of the top line. It really is fascinating, isn't it? Again, normally when you talk about a bill, you talk about the content of the bill. No one's talking about the content of the bill. Number one, because the formal bill has not yet been proposed. And number two, because no one cares about the content of the bill. Here, for example, is Ilhan Omar talking about how much money she wants. Again, it's all about how much money they want, not what they want to do with the money.
We remain fully committed to passing the president's entire Build Back agenda.
And, you know, delivering on that transformative change that the president ran on and that helped deliver the House, the Senate, and the White House. Now, as you remember, the Senate sent us a budget resolution that had the 3.5 price tag. What do they want to cut? Do they want to cut child care for families that desperately need it? Do they want to not address the climate crisis for a future generation? Do they not want to have hearing, vision, and dental care for the elderly?
Do they not want... Okay, that sort of blackmail is not going to work. Because, again, there is all this stuff available for all these people already. Okay, if you think that elderly people in the United States don't have any sort of way to get dental care, I don't know what world you are living in. Private means exist for dental care. Okay, that has been a thing for quite a while in the United States, as it turns out. It's not that there are a bunch of old gummers walking around all toothless. The notion that the elderly population in the United States is in complete lack of dental and vision care, and that we need to pay for it with the federal government, but that's not the point. The point is the spending. The spending is the point. This is what Joe Manchin understands, right? The spending is the point. And this is why you end up with headlines like from David Brooks. This is why we need to spend $4 trillion. $4 trillion. Look how he increased it by like 0.5 trillion. Just, you know, it's $500 billion. Yeah. David Brooks in the New York Times, who's being retweeted by Ron Klain. If you want to know what Biden is thinking, Biden's brain is not Biden. It is Ronald Klain, who's on Twitter basically tweeting out, a la Donald Trump, all of his interior monologues. So he tweeted out David Brooks's column today. David Brooks, who is one of the supposed in-house Republicans over at the New York Times, which is hysterical. He says, have we given up on the idea that policy can change history? Have we lost faith in our ability to reverse or even be alarmed by national decline? More and more I hear people accepting the idea that America is not as energetic or youthful as it used to be. I can practically hear the spirits of our ancestors crying out, the ones who had a core faith that this would forever be the greatest nation on the planet, the New Jerusalem, the last best hope of Earth. My ancestors were aspiring immigrants and understood where the beating heart of the nation resided, with the working class and the middle class, the ones depicted by Willa Cather, James Agee, Ralph Ellison, or in The Honeymooners, the best years of our lives and on the waterfront. There was a time when the phrase the common man was a source of pride and a high compliment. Over the past few decades, there has been a redistribution of dignity. Upward. From Reagan through Romney, the Republicans valorized entrepreneurs, CEOs, and Wall Street. The Democratic Party became dominated by the creative class who attended competitive colleges, moved to affluent metro areas, married each other, and ladled advantages onto their kids so they could leap even further ahead. There was a bipartisan embrace of a culture of individualism, which opens up a lot of space for people with resources and social support, but means loneliness and abandonment for people without. 4 years of college became the definition of the good life, which left roughly two-thirds of the country out. And so came the crisis that Biden was elected to address, the poisonous combination of elite insularity and vicious populist resentment. The Democratic spending bills are economic packages that serve moral and cultural purposes. They should be measured by their cultural impact, not merely by wonky analysis. Okay, bottom line is, if we spend lots of money, this is going to make people feel good, is David Brooks' basic argument. You will feel better if we spend lots of money. I also enjoy the notion that the founding fathers would have been all on board with the federal government taxing us at exorbitant rates to fund every form of social welfare benefit they could possibly imagine. You know, precisely the stuff that they were rebelling against the British Empire for doing to them. I mean, they were literally rebelling against the British Empire because their taxes were too high and because they were concerned that their rights as Englishmen were being invaded because they did not have proper representation. What do you make of an executive government that basically regulates every aspect of your life without any input from you, as well as tax rates that would have made the British Empire blush? What do you make of that? But he's not going back to the founding fathers, obviously, David Brooks. He is going back to the FDR vision of what the United States should be, namely a quasi-socialistic enterprise. Okay, well, I mean, you can make that argument, but that's not going to be a very good argument. Okay, so anyway, Joe Manchin is standing in the breach because, again, his political motive here is to stand in the breach. If he does not stand in the breach, he loses his seat in West Virginia. So Joe Manchin came out yesterday, said my limit is $1.5 trillion. Not $3.5 trillion, not $4 trillion, $1.5
trillion. My top line has not been. My top line has been 1.5 because I believe in my heart that what we can do and what the needs we have right now and what we can afford to do without basically changing our whole society to an entitlement mentality.
Yep. Right. I mean, he's correct about this. This has made him persona non grata inside the Democratic Party. Manchin then crushed more progressive dreams. He said, there will be no deal linking both bills. I'm not going to hold up the infrastructure bill so that they can ram through $3.5 trillion of spending. Not going to happen.
Senator, progressives feel, though, you're not dealing in good faith. They felt that there was a deal made before.
I never knew about that. Never heard of it.
So you were never part of a deal that linked the two bills together?
About two of them are going to be together?
Yeah.
Why do you think we worked so hard to separate them?
That is correct. Okay, and then Manchin went even further. He said, you want $3.5 trillion? I like more liberals. I'm not one of those. Again, remember, his incentive structure here is to be a conservative Democrat, of whom there are very few left in the Democratic Party.
I've never been a liberal in any way, shape, or the form. There's no one has ever thought I was. I've been governor, I've been state secretary of state, I've been state legislature, I've been a U.S. senator, and I have voted pretty consistently all my whole life. I don't fault any of them who believe that they're much more progressive and much more liberal. God bless them. And all they need to do is we have to elect more, I guess, for them to get theirs, elect more liberals.
Ouch. Ouch. I mean, that is Joe Manchin just smacking down the squad. And then Joe Manchin dropped a bomb yesterday, just directly on Chuck Schumer's head. So Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have been playing this game where they're like, oh, no, we never, it was always 3.5, it was not always $3.5 trillion. Joe Manchin actually just dropped a PDF of a framework deal signed by Chuck Schumer and Joe Manchin for $1.5 trillion in spending, not $3.5 trillion in spending. And by the way, again, Joe Manchin has already signed off this year on $1.9 trillion in spending earlier this year. This would be $1.5 trillion in spending. There'd be another $1 trillion in supplemental spending. By the time you get to the end of Joe Manchin's spending, the conservative guy, this year you'd be at $5 trillion. Okay, but he actually got Chuck Schumer to sign on to this. So Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi were going around being like, oh, that Joe Manchin, he's terrible. You signed this at the end of July, Chuck Schumer. So what does exactly this document say? It says the top line would be $1.5 trillion. The funds in the new legislation would not be dispersed until all funding from COVID legislation and ARP, the American Recovery Plan from earlier this year, has been spent. And one of the conditions was that the Federal Reserve would end quantitative easing. In other words, stop inflating the currency. It would require needs-based, means-tested guardrails and formulas on new spending, targeted spending caps on existing programs, no additional handouts or transfer payments. On climate, it would require spending on innovation, not elimination. So in other words, it would not be about eliminating coal because the man is from West Virginia. Also, any revenue exceeding $1.5 trillion would be used for deficit reduction. It would not be used for further spending. It would set the corporate tax rate not at 39% or 30%. It would set it at 25%. It would raise the top rate on ordinary income to 39.6%. That's the only area where there's broad consensus in the Democratic Party what they want it to be. It would raise the capital gains rate to 28% all in, right? Not 39%, which is what Biden was looking for. It would end the carried interest tax so-called loophole. And then it says, Senator Manchin does not guarantee he will vote for the final reconciliation legislation if it exceeds the conditions outlined in this agreement. They just dropped that bombshell directly on the head of Chuck Schumer. So yesterday was just Joe Manchin Day ripping the Democratic progressives apart. And he was pointing out correctly that inflation has real downstream effects for the person in the middle class. Like, this is something David Brooks doesn't seem to understand. And neither does the entire Democratic Party, except for Joe Manchin. Inflation hurts the little guy the most. Inflation, like, if you're a rich person and you have lots of wealth and savings, you know what you're doing with that stuff? Investing in. If you're the person who's spent their entire life building up a little bit of a bankroll, and then the government just keeps inflating, all those savings are worth less than they were yesterday. Let's say that you're a retiree on a fixed income. What does inflation do to you? Here's Joe Manchin pointing this out.
I asked for the strategic pause because after that, then we basically had COVID coming back at us, and we have all the unknowns right now, especially with what the financial fallout might be, or the geopolitical fallout, the geopolitical fallout that might come from the Afghanistan departure, and also inflation. I'll give you a perfect example. In West Virginia, I just saw today to where the $1, what we call General Dollar Store, Dollar General, They're no longer Dollar General. They're $1.25, $1.50 General. That's hard for West Virginians. A lot of people do shop there, and that's all they have. We have to take all this in consideration.
So that is bad, according to the Democrats. Okay, remember, this is all about the common man. I promise you, Joe Manchin represents the common man far more than Chuck Schumer does. That is certainly true. In just one second, we'll get to the media response to all of this, which is just screaming into the void. First, does it make any sense that the same company that controls half of online retail also passively eavesdrops on your private conversations at home? Every site you visit, video you watch, message you send gets tracked and data mined. It's time to put a layer of protection between your online activity and these tech juggernauts. That's why I use ExpressVPN. Think about how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, every site you visit, video you watch, message you send gets tracked and data mined. When you run ExpressVPN on your device, the software hides your IP address, something big tech can use to personally identify you. So ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your internet data to keep you safe from hackers and eavesdroppers on your network. And ExpressVPN does all of that without slowing your connection, which is why it's rated the number one VPN service by both CNET and TechRadar. What I like most about ExpressVPN, it is super easy to use. Download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, now you are protected. So, stop handing over your personal data to the big tech monopoly that mines your activity and sells your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me safe online. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben right now to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, if you were to pick a group of people who are most likely to speak to the common man, it would probably be like late night TV hosts, right? Well, they're all real mad at Joe Manchin. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org. Sponsored by Oxfam America.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the late night comedy hosts who are no longer involved in comedy at all, they're very angry at Joe Manchin. So here you have the Daily Show ripping Joe Manchin.
Introducing Manchin, the politics game where everyone works together. Almost.
We're going to pass an infrastructure bill.
You play as the Democratic majority in the Senate. But watch out, one player is the Manchin.
I have concerns over the partisan nature of this legislation.
Uh-oh. Looks like someone's the Manchin.
But Kyle, we're all on the same team. You know, America.
This bill cannot move forward without the support of at least one Republican colleague.
But there are no Republicans here. They didn't want to play.
With Manchin, you can feel the excitement of a narrow majority held hostage by one sanctimonious head.
So much humor. He's a sanctimonious, you see? It's funny. It's funny. Man, really pushing the boundaries of comedy. Remember that time when comedy used to make you laugh? Seth Meyers doesn't. Here's Seth Meyers being not funny.
You've got two senators, Joe Manchin, who's been called a kingmaker by fossil fuel executives and personally profits from the coal industry, and Kyrsten Sinema, who's raked in hundreds of thousands in donations from Big Pharma and has been raising money from business groups, holding up a bill that would tackle climate change, establish paid family leave, make community college tuition free, transform child care, and expand access to health care, among many other things. Name one thing in this bill you think is unpopular. Paid family leave, child care tax credit, dental benefits for Medicare.
He's so funny. He's so funny. I am enjoying the notion from Democrats that if you don't vote the way that they want you to vote, it's because you're being bribed. Joe Manchin is doing this because of the bribery, and so is Kyrsten Sinema. That's why, because they're being bribed. That's clearly the issue here. So, a few things. One, if we're going to talk about open bribery, the Democratic Party is so in hock to places like the teachers' unions that they will literally rewrite CDC standards in order to please the teachers' unions. Second of all, as a typical rule, you take donations from groups that are politically aligned with you. Okay, and if Kyrsten Sinema were presumably aligned the other way, she'd be receiving donations from other groups. I mean, that's how politics typically works. But really, good on you guys. Good on the elite media for deciding that anyone who disagrees with them, it's because they are attempting bribery. All the while ignoring the fact that the entire Democratic program is an attempt to bribe voters with their own money. Right? Take money from, in some cases, not their own money, in some cases, from their next door neighbor. Right? We'll take your next door neighbor's money, we'll give it to you, and then you'll vote for us, seems to be the Democratic pitch here. But they're all for the common man. It's all the common man. It's all the common good. Again, their basic idea here is we spend endless amounts of money forever, and there's no downside ever. And all we gain is more and more control over your life. Now, I would be remiss if I did not note that there is a new standard with regard to immigration. I mean, this administration is a bleep show in so many ways. The DHS has issued new arrest and deportation guidelines to immigration agents, right? This comes just a week after the DHS lied about its own agents by suggesting they were whipping immigrants, illegal immigrants at the border. The Biden administration said that. Biden said it. Harris said it. Mayorkas said it. It was all a lie. Now, the DHS is issuing new regulations. What do these regulations do, according to the Washington Post? Quote, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas issued broad new directives to immigration officers on Thursday, saying the fact that someone is an undocumented immigrant, quote, should not alone be the basis of a decision to detain and deport them from the United States. Oh, that's not, but aren't you like the immigration, like border patrol? So your job is to patrol the border, but if someone crosses the border illegally, that is not alone the basis to detain or deport them from the United States. I wonder why people think there's an open border here. It's bewildering to me. Who could have predicted such a thing? The same time these people are releasing, there are 15,000 people under the bridge in Del Rio, Texas. 10 to 12,000 of them, according to Mayorkas, entered the United States. I wonder why everyone thinks there's an open border here in the United States. Maybe because there's an open border here in the United States, thanks to these tool bags. So now you're not just combining bad economic policy with inflationary policy and bad fiscal policy. You got bad economic policy, bad fiscal policy, endless welfare benefits in an open border. I can't see how anything here is gonna be bad. It's all probably gonna be great. Now, even Bernie Sanders used to be in favor of a closed border. He was in favor of a closed border because he made the perfectly plausible and rational argument that if you offer endless welfare benefits to people and leave the border open, you won't be able to pay for everyone. So much for that. We've got an administration that wants endless welfare benefits for pretty much everybody. And also an open border. An amnesty program is on the way for those who say, well, you know, illegal immigrants can't receive things like federal welfare benefits. First of all, they can receive in some states state welfare benefits. They receive free public education for their kids. But beyond that, the administration would very much like to make all these people citizens as fast as humanly possible. Does this look like a recipe for the success of the United States, or does it look like an attempt to gain ultimate power for the rest of time by the Democratic Party. Endless welfare benefits, endless bribery, endless spending combined with open borders is one hell of a combo. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Hoping to make some headway Friday, President Biden went to Capitol Hill to meet with lawmakers as Democrats strain to rescue a scaled-back version of Biden's $3.5 trillion government overhaul. The president did huddle privately with House Democrats. Speaking afterward with reporters, Biden was asked when the legislation might be done.
It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter whether it's in 6 minutes, 6 days, or 6 weeks. We're going to get it done.
And the White House says Biden also planning to visit a number of American cities next week in order to make his case. At the same time, the president's popularity continues to drop like a rock. A new poll by the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, finds right now it's about 50-50, and Biden's approval rating has dropped among Democrats and independents. Also at townhall.com, shooting Friday at a charter school in Houston. Ed Donahue has the story.
A former student at Yes Prep Southwest Secondary tried to get into the school.
He gained entry by shooting through a glass door and immediately fired upon one of the employees of the school.
Police Chief Troy Finner says the employee was shot in the back. This seventh grader told KTRK-TV,
when I was coming out, I saw blood and glass shattering everywhere.
The former student was taken into custody. Resident Lillian Jones says school shootings have got to end.
We've got to wrap our arms around this thing and just commit to stopping it.
No students were injured. I'm Ed Donahue.
And more on these stories at townhall.com.
It involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Due to the volatility in the geopolitical landscape and impacts of COVID variants, it's virtually impossible to guess what the market will do next. With VantagePoint, you don't have to. Want to see the next big stock market moves in advance? Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our AI analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, VantagePoint's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to protect your capital and maximize gains. Text the word money to 813-813 and time your entries and exits to perfection. Don't wait. Text money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of VantagePoint.
Drug maker Merck says its experimental COVID-19 pill reduced hospitalizations and deaths by half in those recently infected with the virus. That is potentially a leap forward in the global battle against the pandemic. Vanderbilt University Medical Center's Dr. William Schaffner says that a pill to treat COVID would make things much easier.
Having pills available that can prevent the evolution into serious disease would change the way we can treat. At the moment, people who are newly infected have to come to special treatment centers to receive their intravenous infusions.
At the Supreme Court, Justice Sonia Sotomayor has denied an emergency appeal from teachers to block New York's COVID vaccine mandate for public school teachers. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Daimler's truck and luxury car businesses are going their separate ways. John Scott explains.
Daimler AG shareholders made the decision. The move gives the separate businesses the freedom to pursue different technologies as the push towards zero-emission vehicles transforms the industry. The independent Daimler Truck Holding AG plans to develop hydrogen-powered long-haul trucks, while Daimler's Mercedes-Benz luxury car business is more focused on battery power. The move means that Daimler will rename itself Mercedes-Benz Group after the spinoff goes through later this year. John Scott reporting.
Wall Street numbers for Friday. Well, the Dow was up 482 points, closing the week at 34,326. NASDAQ gained 118 points at 14,566. S&P 500 up 49 at 43.57. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
A private Christian college in Missouri, the College of the Ozarks, remains in the battle to oppose a government policy essentially requiring the school to place students in dormitories according to their sexual orientation and gender identity rather than their biological sex.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their internet. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, if you ever thought that the Democrats were the moderate party, all you have to do is look at them talk about things like education and abortion. It really is astonishing. So let's begin with education. There's a baseline notion in conservative circles that parents ought to be in charge of their kids' education, right? This is pretty simple. My kid is my kid. I know my kid better than you know my kid. I care about my kid more than you care about my kid. And that means it is my job to teach my kids the morality of the world, the ways of the world, the rules of the world. That's my job. I'm the parent. And that means that it is very much up to me how education is done, particularly for my small children. And it's particularly true when you're talking about moral issues. Like, there's a fairly wide consensus that teaching small children basic mathematical facts is not a problem, or teaching them reading, or teaching them stories, or how to write, or basic science. And none of this is controversial. When things start to get controversial in the educational circles is when you start leveraging your social politics onto my kid. There, I'm not cool with that, and I'm not interested in that. And so I will literally take my kid out of a public school and put my kid into a private school where the people there are teaching what I want my kids to be taught. That is not only every American's right. It's not only every American parent's right. It's every American parent's duty. It is your duty to educate your kid in what you believe to be the morality of the world and the morality that you believe is correct for your child, for them to lead a more happy, fulfilled life. Your job. But according to members of the Democratic Party, increasingly, that is not the job of parents. In fact, parents ought not be the primary decision makers in this space. The primary decision makers in this space ought to be the experts. Now, the cult of expertise in education goes all the way back to John Dewey at the beginning of the 20th century. John Dewey was a liberal intellectual who suggested that education was necessary in order to mold grand citizen bodies, and in order to make people better citizens, it had to be people at the top who were deciding how education was to be done, progressive education, making for citizens who agreed with John Dewey about how the world was supposed to work. Now, Dewey, on a sort of everyman level, is most famous for creating the Dewey Decimal System that you remember from when you were in school in the library, but John Dewey was also a progressive philosopher, and his basic notion of how educational institutions were supposed to churn out good little progressives has become sort of the rote Democratic talking point for the last century or so. The beliefs that state schools are supposed to impact kids in how they think has become part of the unspoken assumption of people in the educational establishment. They are the grand teachers of your child. They are the molders of minds. And so when this runs up against the hard and fast principle that I discussed earlier, that parents ought to be the people who decide what their kids learn how their kids think. It turns out that the government very often is going to be at odds directly with parents. And you end up with awkward exchanges like this one. Here's Education Secretary Miguel Cardona being asked whether parents ought to be the primary stakeholders in education. He refuses to answer the question because if he says parents ought to be the primary stakeholders in education, then that would mean that the government should not be teaching controversial propositions that many parents disagree with, that they should be relegated to teaching only facts and learning methodologies. But Miguel Cardona doesn't believe that. He believes that he should be in charge because he's a special person.
Do you think parents should be in charge of their child's education as the primary stakeholder?
I believe parents are important stakeholders, but I also believe
primary
educators have a role in determining educational programming.
Educators have a role. Okay, now no one said that educators don't have a role, but educators have been deemed worthy of teaching your kids because of you. You are the person who pays the educators. You're the person who hires the educators. It is with your go-ahead that they have a mandate to do anything with your kids. But Democrats don't want that to happen. This is why I've been saying that the great threat to liberty that is going to really tear the country apart when it happens, and it will happen in the next 5 to 10 years, is when what Democrats have done with public schools begins to extend over into homeschooling and private schooling. Right now, the solution for most people who are religious, most people who believe in sort of traditional morality with regard to, for example, same-sex marriage or with regard to transgenderism or abortion, the typical way that such parents have dealt with the complete perversion of the public schooling system is by removing their kids from those schools and taking them to accredited private schools. But accreditation is required in order for those schools to function, in order for the truant officer not to show up and haul your kid off to the local public school. What happens when California decides that it is just too intolerant to allow that Orthodox Jewish day school to continue teaching that traditional marriage is moral and same-sex marriage is not? What happens when California decides to get rid of accreditation for that school, or New York, or Massachusetts, or Illinois? You think parents are going to stand by for that, or are they going to pick up and are they going to move? And when they move, what if the federal government, under people like Miguel Cardona, listen, you parents, you're not the primary stakeholders, you are a stakeholder, but society is the primary stakeholder. You'll notice that what the left has a sneaking fondness for doing, is expanding the quote-unquote circle of stakeholders. So what they will do is they will say, for example, that with regard to a corporation, the true stakeholders are not the shareholders, right? People who actually own stock in the company. You're not answerable to them. You're answerable to the broader society. Well, what that allows is for the quote-unquote elites at the top of that institution to never have to answer to the people who literally sign their paycheck. They have to answer to broader society. They have a broader mandate to ignore the people they should be answerable to. They're doing the same thing with parenting. Instead of teachers and administrators being answerable to parents, now they are answerable to Miguel Cardona. Because Miguel Cardona is some sort of apotheosis of societal approval. And Miguel Cardona is the embodiment of the societal thought about education. And that's far broader than your interest in your own child. It's not just Miguel Cardona, by the way. Terry McAuliffe does the same thing. So in debate with Glenn Youngkin, we'll see how this goes for him in Virginia. It's a bold move, Cotton. He says, yeah, you know, I really don't think that parents should be telling schools what to teach.
Veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledge about it, also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Okay, now, you might have thought that was a slip of the tongue, that you don't think that parents should be telling schools what to teach. Nope, Terry McAuliffe means it. He doubled down on it yesterday.
Do you think parents should have a say in the curriculum?
Listen, we have a board of ed working with the local school boards to determine the curriculum for our schools. You don't want parents coming in every different school jurisdiction.
What? So, yeah, it's all the school boards that should be determining. The school boards should be the ones in charge. Good luck with this particular perspective. We'll see how this plays out in the suburbs. When Donald Trump is not on the ballot, this is not going to play well in the suburbs for people like Terry McAuliffe. It seems that when it comes to kids, the Democratic proposal is you have every right in the world to kill your kid before it's born or abandon your kid after the kid is born, but you have no right to educate your kid in the way you see fit. But that is up to society. That's somewhat perverse. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the simple fact, if you're a responsible citizen, you need life insurance. Because God forbid something should happen to you, you need to make sure that you are taken care of, right? You're just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, a jet engine just, it falls from the sky and it hits you. It doesn't take you out right away. You're sitting there, you're lying on the ground and being ground up by the jet engine. And you think to yourself, man, I really should have listened to Shapiro about that life insurance policy because my family would be taken care of right now. Yes, you should have. That's why you should have checked out Policy Genius. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. Eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. The exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bisto. Getting started, super simple first. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. Policy Genius does all the rest. Head on over there, PolicyGenius.com. Get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice, very important to get it right. And meanwhile, on abortion, the so-called moderate left is just gone. They just do not exist anymore. So there's a big House hearing yesterday on the power of abortion because the House has now passed 218 Democrats to one who voted against. Passed a bill that doesn't just enshrine Roe versus Wade. It basically says you can get an abortion so long as you say that your health is threatened under any rubric, all the way up till birth. Or it would outlaw all state legislation that limits abortion in basically any way. That's where the Democratic Party is. And that requires a move from safe, legal, and rare, which is what the Democratic Party line used to be in the 1990s, you'll recall, all the way to celebrate your abortion, shout your abortion, abortion is just great. In fact, you had three separate congresswomen testify about their own experiences with abortion yesterday on the Hill. And then you had the various arguments put forth by the Democrats about abortion, about the wonders and joys of abortion. Now, my favorite part of the argument in favor of abortion that has currently sort of taken the forefront for the Democrats is the intersectional argument. This one I love. So the idea is that you are disproportionately harming black women if black women don't kill their own babies. That what we need is fewer black babies born in the world in order to assure equity for black people in the United States, which ironically is the same exact perspective taken by racist eugenicists at the beginning of the 20th century. So here, for example, is Rashida Tlaib saying Black Lives Matter should be at the forefront of the abortion movement. I have a question. The name of the group is Black Lives Matter. Why does killing small black people inside the uteruses of their mothers make Black Lives Matter more? Here's Rashida Tlaib.
I'm terribly concerned by the lack of support that so many of those women have.
Yeah, well, the same people that voted for the bill that you are championing today are people that would actually leave them completely homeless and with no safeguards at all. I want you to believe me when I say that to you, because Black Lives Matter should be very much at the forefront in every policy that we ever do in this country. It can't just be you carrying a sign or being on a commission.
Whoa. A lot going on there from Rashida Tlaib. And then you got Ayanna Pressley, who says that abortion bans on abortion, target LGBT Americans. She's going to have to explain the calculus that goes into this one. This is Winona Ryder at the Oscars looking around. Here is Ayanna Pressley.
These misguided bans will not actually prevent all abortions. They simply put safe and necessary abortion care out of reach for our most vulnerable, specifically our lowest income sisters, our queer, trans, and non-binary siblings, black, Latinx, AAPI, immigrants, disabled, and indigenous folks. And none of this is happenstance. It is precise.
So I like that now Ayanna Pressley's deal is that no matter what policy you're talking about, she kicks a note card into place in her head and she just reads off the entire intersectional list. AAPI, indigenous, intersectional, feminist, transgender, queer. It's like, it just go right through the list. It's pretty fascinating. I wonder if this is how she does her grocery shopping. Like every time she makes a list, just randomly, it just kicks into this list. She'll be like, milk, eggs, transgender, queer, indigenous people. Like, oh no, wrong list. Whoops. Does she kick this into everyday conversation? Is she just having a conversation with somebody? Like, did you like that new Marvel movie? And she's like, I did like that Marvel movie. I particularly liked how indigenous, queer, Latinx. Like, oh my God. Oh. But my favorite part of that little statement there from Ayanna Pressley is where she says that abortion bans specifically target queer, non-binary, and transgender people. Question. How many lesbians and gay men are being targeted by the abortion ban? How many? And how? please explain, unless you're talking about either, God forbid, rape or artificial insemination, after which you seek abortion, which would be a weird thing to do. I'm not sure how that applies. Also, what does that have to do with do transgender people get pregnant and seek abortions more often than other people? Because I'm going to need to see some math on that, like a lot of math on that, given the hormone treatments that are very often used and the surgeries that often take place, which very often result in sterilization. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. But as we'll see in a moment, these are actually the less offensive of the arguments that are being made by Democrats in favor of abortion. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. It makes no sense that the same company that controls half of online retail also passively eavesdrops on your private conversations at home. Every site you visit, video you watch, message you send gets tracked and data mined. It's time to put a layer of protection between your online activity and the tech juggernauts. That's why I use ExpressVPN. Think about how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, every site you visit, video you watch, or message you send gets tracked and data mined. When you run ExpressVPN on your device, the software hides your IP address. That's something big tech can use to personally identify you. So ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your internet data to help keep you safe from hackers and eavesdroppers on your network. ExpressVPN does all of that without slowing your connection. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service by CNET and TechRadar. What I like most about ExpressVPN, it's super easy to use. You download it with one click, one more click, and now you've fired up your ExpressVPN and you're protected. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me safe online. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben right now to learn more. Alrighty, so the Democrats had this abortion hearing. We're going to get to some of the more insane witness comments in just one moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Take a lot of medicine or take care of someone that does? Hero is the new smart device that makes life easier by pre-sorting a 90-day supply of up to 10 different pills. Just pour them in and Hero does the rest.
So easy to use and saves me so much time. I never miss a dose. I'm never late for a dose anymore. And that is so critical to me.
What I like best about my Hero is that it's so easy to set up and it's so easy to use. And I don't have to worry about my pills or get distracted and forget, did I take that pill or not? Because it reminds me.
It alerts and dispenses with the push of a button. Plus, Hero sends a friendly alert to you and a caregiver.
Hero is amazing, but you could even live out of state with the person and still program their Hero from the convenience of your phone.
I feel better than I have ever felt simply because I have this device.
Try Hero risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it.
Call 800-608-9432. That's 800-608-9432. 800-608-9432. Call now.
Paid for by Hero Health Incorporated.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DinoVite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democratic abortion policy is incredibly radical. I mean, very, very radical. They brought forth a bunch of witnesses to talk about why abortion is just so wonderful. So the Democratic policy, obviously, no longer safe, legal, and rare. Now it is abortion is wonderful. Abortion is love. I'm not kidding. That's a thing that one of the Democratic witnesses said. There's a woman named Dr. Gazella Moyedi, and she had some words about abortion. So first she said that the country was founded on rape and racism. That is what America was founded on, which is weird, because for a country founded on rape and racism, here she is testifying in Congress while being questioned by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which seems like pretty weird for a country founded on rape and racism, but here we go.
The attempt to control and sabotage a victim's reproductive care and control over themselves then becomes mass adopted by overwhelmingly, frankly, cisgender male state legislatures. How do you see a connection between these abuse dynamics in person?
Our country is actually founded on reproductive control and coercion of enslaved Africans and of indigenous people. So this is actually a historical tactic in our country and a method of upholding white supremacy.
Oh, preventing abortion is upholding white supremacy by making sure that more minority babies are born. That makes sense. If you're crazy, also, I was unaware that abortion policy was a key feature of the early Republic of the United States. And that really, there were lots of cultures at the time that were super duper pro-abortion in like 1770. It was huge. Planned Parenthood in 1770, massive organization. Huge. So this crazy person was one of the people who was brought forth as a witness. That was not the only crazy thing she said. She also said abortion is love. Well, then you define love differently than I do, sister. Here we go.
I know firsthand that abortion saves lives. For the thousands of people I've cared for, abortion is a blessing. Abortion is an act of love. Abortion is freedom. We need federal protection now. We need laws that elevate science and evidence and recognize the dignity and autonomy of people accessing care.
Science and evidence that ignores the humanity of the person inside your womb at like all levels of pregnancy. So no ultrasounds in the name of science. No, never look at that baby. Don't do it. Stop talking about the details of fetal development in the name of science. Abortion is love. Abortion, I mean, it's just such overwhelming Orwellian nonsense. Abortion is an act of love to whom? To the baby whose brains you're sucking in the sink? That doesn't seem like an act of love. I don't think that O.J. Simpson performed an act of love on Nicole. I know. I know that some might think that that was an act of love. That was not, in fact, an act of love. That was an act of murder. An act of love? Abortion is an act of freedom. For whom? I mean, I'm sure that it has made it easier for some women to climb the career ladder not having a child in tow because the kid's dead. But that seems like a bad way of going about freedom, per se. These are the witnesses the Democrats brought forth. Like, the very convincing witnesses like this one. They also brought forth Gloria Steinem. They took her out of mothballs and they brought her forth. And here she was explaining that Hitler's first act was banning abortion. Well, I mean, Hitler did a few other things, and his abortion policies were kind of different. I will explain.
Remember when Hitler was elected, and he was elected, his very first official act was to padlock the family planning clinics and declare abortion a crime against the state. Mussolini did exactly the same thing.
As opposed to other free countries, which have also said that abortion is a crime, which is like for most of human history. Also, I will note that the German policy on abortion was rather selective. Namely, they were very much in favor of it for everybody who is not of Aryan stock. And if you are not a proper quote-unquote German, then they were very much in favor of sterilizing you. It was a eugenic procedure. And one of the enthusiasts for eugenics in the United States was one Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. She was pretty cool with the eugenics of it. This is a way of social experimentation. It was good times over at Planned Parenthood at the beginning. Yeah, man. So these are the folks that the Democrats have called forth. It is a long way from what a tragedy it is for a woman to have to make this decision to abortion makes you free. Abortion is an act of love. Abortion is a way of benefiting the LGBTQIA community. Abortion is a way of helping indigenous black and AAPI women. Wow, they've really moved on. There's a reason why the Democratic Party no longer has room for Joe Manchin, for example. Maybe he's refused to go along with the whole let's federally fund abortion. Joe Biden goes along with it. This is the wave of the future for the Democratic Party. They are getting more and more radical. Apparently under the misimpression that they can be as radical as they want to be and there will be no electoral consequences. Well, if you're AOC or you're Ayanna Pressley and you're from Massachusetts, there will be no electoral consequences. Suffice it to say, in purple states, the answer could be very, very different. Already coming up, we're talking with Real Clear Investigations' John Lott about a new study showing just how many times Americans use guns in self-defense every year. It's a lot more than the media will tell you about. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 9th at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. There will be three different waves of activity. The first is a race wave for those who are competitive, a second wave, a run wave for those who like to run for fun, and a third wave, a walk wave for those who prefer a leisurely stroll. Whether you like to run or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk for only $35 for the run and $25 for the walk at carenet.redding.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center here in Redding. Once you sign up online, you'll receive a link to create your own fundraising page where you can also draw support from those who are unable to attend. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus following the race for participants. It's a great way to start your day with the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. Sign up online today at carenet.redding.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligation. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop-in for an hour or more and try it out. Drop-in.mobi. That's drop-in.mobi.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hundred years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
A private Christian college in Missouri, the College of the Ozarks, remains in the battle to oppose a government policy essentially requiring the school to place students in dormitories according to their sexual orientation and gender identity rather than their biological sex.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is John Lott, a contributor to Real Clear Investigations, focusing on voting and gun rights. He has a new article out talking about how guns are used, because the left insists that if you have a gun in your home, then you are probably going to murder somebody or get murdered by use of the gun. John's done some research into it. John, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, great to talk to you again.
So, John, let's talk about how Americans typically use their firearms in the homes. If you listen to the left, firearms in your home make you significantly more likely to die or your kid to shoot themselves than you know, they are to be used in self-defense situations. Because most gun owners say that they use a gun for self-defense. That's why they own the guns, typically speaking. But there's no really great metric. It's been very difficult to measure how often people actually use guns in self-defense, because most people don't actually shoot attackers. They brandish a gun at somebody. So how do you go about measuring that sort of thing?
Right. Well, the way the government and others look at this is to try to do surveys. That's the way we figure out, you know, what rates of crimes are reported to police. How do we know only about 50% of rapes get reported to police? Well, we know the rapes that are reported, and then the government has something called the National Crime Victimization Survey, where they survey about 100,000 people each year to get an idea of how many crimes aren't reported. And we know generally only about half of violent crimes are reported to police. We have similar surveys that look at things like defensive gun uses. You know, I don't blame people for having the views that you mentioned earlier, the perceptions. We looked at the top five newspapers in the United States so far this year, the New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, and between the five papers, they had a total of combined of 10 defensive gun uses that they reported. At the same time, they reported a total of 2,764 news stories about crimes with guns, either resulting in a murder or a wounding. And yet, that's very far from what the survey evidence indicates that on average, there's about 2 million times people use guns defensively, and that's about five times more frequently than those same surveys indicate that guns are used in the commission of crimes against people.
So one of the things you talk about at Real Clear Investigations is how the National Crime Victimization Survey actually works. You talk about the fact that there are screening questions that differ between the National Crime Victimization Survey and other surveys that have been taken looking at defensive gun use. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit, because that does skew the stats.
Sure. Well, often people will point to the National Crime Victimization Survey saying that, look, that shows that there's only 100,000 defensive gun uses that occur each year. And the problem, as you say, is they don't just directly ask people whether you used a gun defensively. They try to get rid of what's called false positives, you know, people kind of pretending that they used a gun defensively when they didn't really do so, by asking a preceding question that says, have you been a victim of a violent crime? Other surveys ask you whether you've been threatened with violence, and that seems to make a huge difference in whether people get to the questions about defensive gun use, because a lot of people who may simply brandish a gun and have the criminal run away may not view themselves as having become a victim of a violent crime. So, you know, you're losing a lot of people that you never even let get to the next part of the question.
So, John, one of the other problems with trying to document defensive gun use is that police departments don't actually compile data on defensive gun use as a general rule. And very often you'll see police departments in major cities that sort of actively discourage people from owning guns in the home, because what they're afraid of is they'll get called to a scene of a crime and somebody at the scene of the crime will have a gun. But there are some departments that have actually tried to pay attention to these sort of stats. What do they show?
Well, there's really only one police department in the country that regularly reports defensive gun uses. But even that is limited to cases where somebody's been shot, either been killed or wounded. And that's Houston. I've talked to them. They just have a policy that whenever anybody's been shot, whether it's been a criminal or a victim, they put out a press release on it. But, you look at Houston and you know, about half the cases that we have from Houston are from the police reports. So a lot of them, the media doesn't even cover those. One thing I should mention about the media coverage, just to get an idea of how skewed it is that we know from these surveys I mentioned that about 95% of the time that people use guns defensively, they simply brandish it. But what's newsworthy is very different often from what happens in reality. But, you know, a killing is more newsworthy than a wounding, and a wounding's more newsworthy than somebody simply brandishing a gun and having the criminal run away. And while about 95% of the time we think people simply brandish a gun to stop an attack, only about 4% of the news stories have brandishing. Most of the news stories involve cases where somebody's been killed. And that gives people a real misimpression of what happens when people use guns defensively. They think virtually always somebody's going to be killed or wounded whenever a gun's used defensively. And that's definitely not the case. It's just not as newsworthy. If I'm an editor and I have two stories, in one case somebody's been killed, or another case a woman's brandished a gun, the would-be criminals run away, no shots fired, I'm not even completely sure what crime would have been committed, I think anybody would find the first story more newsworthy, even though for policy reasons we care about both cases.
Well, that's John Lott. You can check out his latest piece over at Real Clear Investigations today. John, really appreciate your time and appreciate the research.
Thank you.
All righty. Coming up, we'll get to a little bit of debate at the Supreme Court level between Justice Alito and Justice Sonia Sotomayor over the role of the Supreme Court. First, let's talk about the fact that you need great sleep. I need great sleep. This is why I love my Helix Sleep mattress. But I don't just sleep on my mattress. I mean, let's be real. It's a Shabbat afternoon for me. It's a Saturday afternoon, and my kids are running around. I need to conk out on the couch, right? I don't want to go all the way up to my room. This is why I love my All-Form sofa, because Helix has left the bedroom. They've started making sofas as well. They launched a new company. It's called All-Form. They're already making the best sofas in the game. So what makes an All-Form sofa really cool? Well, for starters, it's the easiest way you can customize a sofa using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. You can pick the fabric. It's spill, stain, scratch resistant. The sofa color, the color of the legs, sofa size and shape, make sure it is perfect for you and your home. They've got armchairs and love seats all the way up to an 8-seat sectional, so there's something for everyone. And you can always start small and buy more seats later on if you want your All-Form sofa to grow and change with you when you move. All-Form sofas are also delivered directly to your home with fast, free shipping. Right now, if you buy a sofa from a traditional retailer, it would take months to even arrive, and you need someone to come and assemble it in your home. All-Form takes a few weeks to arrive in the mail. You can assemble it yourself in a few minutes. No tools necessary. I do have an All-Form sofa. It is fantastic. It is in the sand color chaise. It's beautiful, and it's really, really durable. If getting a sofa without trying it in store sounds risky, don't worry. You get 100 days to decide if you want to keep it. That's more than 3 months. You really have nothing to lose. All-Form wants to do their part. They are offering exclusive discounts for teachers, students, military, and first responders. And they have financing, flexible payment plans. They have a forever warranty, literally the rest of your life. To find your perfect sofa, check out allform.com/Ben. And All-Form is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Alrighty, so debate has now broken out a little bit between Sonia Sotomayor and Justice Samuel Alito. So Justice Alito, he did a speech the other night in which he talked about Roe versus Wade. And he says, you know, everybody's ripping on us on this case, where this Texas abortion case. It's like, that's because nobody understands how law works. Here's Samuel Alito.
The catchy and sinister term shadow docket has been used to portray the court as having been captured by a dangerous cabal that resorts to sneaky and improper methods to get its ways. And this portrayal feeds unprecedented efforts to intimidate the court or damage it as an independent institution.
Okay, so here's the thing. Alito has a perspective on the judiciary, which is that the judiciary is an independent branch of government. and that there are a lot of people out there who are trying to damage the judiciary. This is the same perspective as Justice Amy Coney Barrett. By the way, it is the same exact perspective as Stephen Breyer, all of whom in the past several weeks have talked about the apolitical nature of the court and why the court really ought to be independent of politics. And then there is Justice Sonia Sotomayor. So just a couple of days ago, Sotomayor said, quote, "You know, I can't change Texas's law, but you can. And everyone else who may or may not like it can go out there and be the lobbying forces in changing laws that you don't like." She says, "I'm pointing out to that when I shouldn't, because they tell me I shouldn't. My point is there are going to be a lot of things you don't like." So she started talking about specific cases, which you're really not supposed to do. She started talking about particular legislation, which she's really not supposed to do, because Sotomayor is, in fact, a political hack. And the fact that the left has used the Supreme Court as a tool of policy for a very, very long time in the United States, and that the right is really not using the court as a tool of policy as much as to simply uphold the provisions of the Constitution, it demonstrates a wide gap between the left and the right when it comes to the role of the Supreme Court. So Justice Alito, when he points out that there is a portrayal by members of the media to paint the works of the court as sneaky and dangerous, and that there's an attempt to intimidate members of the court, that is clearly true. The problem is that half the time that attempt to intimidate the court is happening from inside the House. Justice Sonia Sotomayor has made precisely that sort of case. It's really ugly. Okay, and it is really damaging because, God forbid, the left ever takes the Supreme Court back over. They're not going to be using it as a tool of constitutional jurisprudence. They weren't in the first place. Instead, they're going to be using it as a tool to cram down whatever they believe the Supreme Court ought to say. They believe they ought to write the law on the far left. They don't believe that they ought to adjudicate the state of the Constitution itself, which is one of the reasons why the Supreme Court actually has lost institutional credibility, even under the tenure of the supposed institutional credibility manager-in-chief, Justice John Roberts. Alrighty, in just one second, we'll be talking with Dr. Mary Graber. She has a new book out about the 1619 Project, debunking it and going through its impact on American life, which is pretty significant. First, let's talk about safety and security at home. So when I'm on the road, I like to be able to check into my house. I want to know what's going on with the kids. I want to know when somebody stops by at the front door. It's just important to me. I'm very safety oriented. You probably are too. This is why Ring is a good idea. With my Ring Alarm security system, I'm much more at ease when I'm on the road or away from home. My Ring Alarm equals peace of mind. You can protect your whole home with Ring Alarm. Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. It works seamlessly with other Ring products in one simple app. For a special offer, go to ring.com/Ben. It is the perfect way to start your Ring experience. Keep an eye on every corner of your house with the indoor and outdoor cams. See what's happening directly from your phone. Again, every time I'm out of town and I hear that little chime go off, I can immediately check in and see who's arriving at the front door, which makes me feel a lot more secure. Protect your home anytime from anywhere with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben for a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build a system right for your home, have it up and running in just minutes. That's ring.com/Ben. Again, ring.com/Ben. Go check them out right now for the special offer, ring.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, the 1619 Project continues to dominate public schools all over the United States. There's a brand new book out by Dr. Mary Graber talking about the shortcomings of the 1619 Project and what you can do to fight back against the predation of your child's mind in the public schools. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Dr. Mary Graybar. She's resident fellow of the Alexander Hamilton Institute, founder of the nonprofit Dissident Professor Education Project. She's also the author of Debunking the 1619 Project, which could not be more timely. Dr. Graybar, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
So let's talk about your book. Obviously, the 1619 Project has become an issue, a hotly fraught issue, which is kind of strange considering that pretty much all major historians believe the 1619 Project to be near complete bunk from beginning to end. And yet the Biden administration originally put it in some of their education standards. You're starting to see states and localities mandate it in their educational materials. So why don't we begin with this? How far and how wide has the 1619 Project spread?
Well, it's estimated to be in about 75% of schools. So it's been adopted in a K-12 curriculum, and that was shipped out right away.
I mean, that is shocking, obviously. And has there been any blowback of note from local school boards, people who are attempting to get this stuff out of the educational curriculum at this point?
Yeah, I think at least 12 states have introduced legislation to eliminate it along with critical race theory. And of course, there is a lot of resistance to that, especially by the creator of the 1619 Project, Nicole Hannah Jones. So there's a lot of pushback, and now it's being called censorship, although it's simply a fight for accurate history to be taught in classroom.
So let's talk, Dr. Graybar, about the flaws of the 1619 Project. So originally it was conceived by Nicole Hannah Jones as a complete revision of American history, and she made no bones about this. It was only later that she started talking about how it was supposed to provide a more fully nuanced view of American history, but originally she talked about what it would mean for 1619 to replace 1776 as the foundational date in our nation's history. So what was that all about? What was the frame about?
Well, what she maintains is that we have a slaveocracy. That's the term she uses. That's an old Marxist term. And that the nation's wealth was built on the backs of slaves. So rather than having a nation that was founded with the principles and the Declaration of Independence in 1776, we should think of this country as being founded as a slaveocracy in 1619 when she falsely asserts that the first slaves came here to Jamestown.
So, you know, the 1619 Project is essentially a series of essays. It is not a thoroughgoing history of the United States told from a sort of Howard Zinn perspective. It's kind of a almost weirdly quilted series of essays on various topics that basically blames every ill in the United States on American-style slavery. Everything from how we operate Excel spreadsheets in the workplace to traffic patterns in major American cities is blamed on the legacy of slavery. So where do they go wrong, both on the history and then on the analysis?
Well, first of all, you know, it wasn't as if, you know, slaves were imported here in 1619. And, you know, so the original people who came here said, oh, we are going to start a nation and we are going to gain our wealth and power by importing slaves. When they arrived in Jamestown, it took them by surprise. They were set to work alongside the indentured servants who were there, and they worked alongside them in the tobacco fields. And it was an institution that evolved slowly and became encoded in the legal system. So to insist that, you know, this country was founded as a slaveocracy is historically and factually wrong.
And then obviously she carries forward that argument through 1776. Now, what's sort of amazing about claiming that America was founded as a slaveocracy is, number one, America was not founded until 1776. It was a British colony until 1776. Right. But she doesn't seem to actually carry her critiques over to the other side of the water and talk about systemic racism in British society nearly as much as she talks about it in American society. She makes claims that were widely debunked by a wide variety of Pulitzer Prize winning historians in the 1619 Project. She claims, for example, that 1776 was fought specifically in order to preserve slavery, which is not only a lie, it is just the obverse of the truth.
Absolutely. And so the British abolitionist movement, the movement to stop the slave trade didn't begin until the 1780s, and you already had an abolition century, as David Breon Davis says. Britain was the leading slave power. So it is the opposite. It's the obverse, as you say.
So the rest of the 1619 Project, as I've said, is not really about American history so much as it is about trying to fast forward from essentially 1850 to 2021 and then claim nothing happened in between. So the worst essay in the series by far is the essay about how American capitalism is rooted in slavery tropes, which of course is wildly untrue. I mean, if that were true, then the South would have won the Civil War. The reality is that it is precisely the rejection of slavery's bad economic principles that led the North to utterly defeat the South in the Civil War, largely based on industrial might alone.
Exactly. And it revives the old King Cotton argument that, you know, slavery was needed, you know, for economic purposes. And that essay comes from the New History of Capitalism school that began at the beginning of the 21st century. And I cite three leading economic historians who charge those people, Edward Baptist, who is the author that is cited specifically, of innumeracy. They can't do basic math. They overestimate how much cotton contributed to the GDP by a factor of 10. It wasn't 50%, it was 5%. So it is a completely wrong, economically illiterate school, but that's the basis of that essay by Matthew Desmond.
So we're speaking with Dr. Mary Graybar. Her book is Debunking the 1619 Project. So Dr. Graybar, you know, obviously, as you pointed out, the stuff has been now mainstreamed into American schools. We saw a major controversy erupt over Nicole Hannah Jones herself, who was granted tenure at the University of North Carolina before even setting foot on campus or having ever taught a class so far, as I'm aware. Her only accomplishment being a sort of created Pulitzer Prize because the New York Times spent millions of dollars promoting the 1619 Project as some sort of rethinking of American history. She was given tenure. She promptly spat on the tenure and turned around and took a deal over at Howard University. How is the 1619 Project viewed in actual academic historian circles?
Well, the legitimate academic historians think of it as a joke. It is, you know, completely false. And I think a telling point is that some of those historians on the left were the first to object, like Sean Wilentz, someone who has railed against President Trump and Republicans and conservatives. But, you know, their criticisms have not been incorporated. They have been completely ignored. And those same criticisms that are coming from historians on the right are called, you know, racist or, you know, they don't want to face the truth. So it's really amazing how this whole sort of chorus of criticism has just been completely ignored or excused.
Well, that's Dr. Mary Graybar. You can go check out her book, Debunking the 1619 Project. Dr. Graybar, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All righty. We have reached the end of today's show, but we will be back here on Monday with much, much more. We'll give you all the updates on the Democratic negotiations, which continue at this moment. How much of your money are they going to spend? We'll have some updates for you as of next week. We'll see you then. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden's popularity just keeps falling.
A new poll by the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research shows 50% of people approve of the job the president is doing, while 49% disapprove. In August, 54% approved. And in July, Biden had 59% approval. The results come as Americans process the military evacuation from Afghanistan, the Delta variant threat to the coronavirus, and the legislative drama of Biden trying to get his infrastructure and tax policies through Congress. Mike Hemp in Washington.
The president, meanwhile, has traveled to Capitol Hill to meet with lawmakers as Democrats strain to rescue a scaled-back version of a massive government overhaul. Also at townhall.com, a legend is saying no more.
The Christian Broadcasting Network says Pat Robertson is stepping down as host of the long-running television show, The 700 Club. The 91-year-old televangelist says Friday was his last show as host of the weekday program. His son Gordon is taking over as full-time host. CBN began airing in 1961, and the 700 Club began production in 1966. The outreach of the Virginia-based network now extends to more than 100 countries in dozens of languages. The 700 Club talk show can be seen in the vast majority of U.S. television markets. I'm Walter Ratliff.
A federal judge hearing arguments over whether Texas can leave in place its new pro-life law. The judge will consider whether to temporarily halt a law that bans abortions once cardiac activity has been detected. The Biden administration calling the law unconstitutional and has filed suits against the Lone Star State. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Don't look now, but winter heating bills likely to go through the roof. Correspondent Ken Lorman has the story.
After years of unusually inexpensive natural gas under the policies of former President Donald Trump, prices of natural gas in America have more than doubled since the same time last year. With fuel costs rising, compounded by inflation, the surging cost of home heating oil is expected to result in much higher heating bills this winter. Ken Lorman reporting.
Two people are dead in the mid-air collision of a helicopter and a fixed-wing aircraft in Arizona. Authorities are still investigating, but they say initially now they know the plane was able to land safely. However, the chopper did crash and caught fire. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A shooting at a charter school in Houston.
A former student at Yes Prep Southwest Secondary tried to get into the school.
He gained entry by shooting through a glass door and immediately fired upon one of the employees of the school.
Police Chief Troy Finner says the employee was shot in the back. The seventh grader told KTRK-TV,
when I was coming out, I saw blood and glass shattering everywhere.
The former student was taken into custody. Resident Lillian Jones says school shootings have got to end.
We've got to wrap our arms around this thing and just commit to stopping it.
No students were injured. I'm Ed Donahue.
Wall Street numbers Friday. Dow Industrials gaining 482 points for the day. On the tech side, the NASDAQ up 118. S&P 500, meanwhile, moved ahead 49 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their internet. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so last night the Democrats were supposed to bring up the bipartisan infrastructure bill for a vote. They did not because they could not get the progressives on board. And they couldn't get the progressives on board because they couldn't get the Senate moderates on board for their $3.5 trillion boondoggle. Meanwhile, speeding down the tracks is the debt ceiling. So the debt ceiling is supposed to be hit in approximately the next couple of weeks. Democrats are trying to get Republicans to sign on to a debt ceiling increase. Republicans are saying, we are not going to allow you to take out a second credit card knowing that you're about to blow out the spending. And so why would we allow you to do that? We need a sort of restructuring deal here. We need to make sure that we get some sort of spending concessions from you at this point, which has led the Biden administration to make the argument that we should get rid of the debt ceiling once and for all. So to understand why the debt ceiling is kind of important, you have to understand the history of how spending has been done in the United States historically. So if you go all the way back to the founding, for basically the first 130 years of the existence of the United States, anytime Congress wanted to authorize the government to take out debt, they had to pass a specific bill that authorized exactly how that debt was to be taken out, which seems like a pretty good idea, right? It puts the responsibility where the responsibility ought to be, with the legislature. Right? Congress would actually have to authorize a loan, or they'd have to allow Treasury to issue bonds, for example. But it would be up to Congress. Congress would actually have to authorize the executive branch to do this, which makes sense. They're the legislative branch. The executive branch is the executive branch. And then, in about 1917, Congress decided they were going to abdicate responsibility on this thing by creating the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling, the idea was that they would just tell the executive branch how much debt they were authorized to take out. Right now, attached to a war, it makes a certain amount of sense, you would assume, because the executive branch is running the war. The executive branch needs to take out more debt on a short-term basis because, obviously, there are battle contingencies. But in the middle of a not war, getting rid of the specific authorization for taking out debt is really just a way for Congress to kick the can down the road without actually having to be held responsible for doing any of this stuff. Like, imagine that every time Congress passed a spending bill, they also had to pass a bill saying, we authorize the Treasury Department to take out this amount of debt on the open markets. It would make everybody think for just a second, is this actually worth it? Congress doesn't want you to think, is it actually worth it? So instead, they pass these giant blunderbuss packages, and they raise the debt ceiling at the same time. Okay, well, that was the rule up until about the 1970s. Okay, then in the 1970s, there was a problem, which was that the government kept running up against the debt ceiling. So Dick Gephardt was a former congressperson from Iowa. Gephardt imposed the so-called Gephardt rule. Okay, this was a rule that suggested the debt ceiling was automatically raised anytime a budget was passed. You didn't actually have to pass a separate debt ceiling bill. You would just pass the budget, and that itself would be the authorization for the government to take out additional debt. Then, during the Gingrich Revolution of the 90s, this was reversed. So in 1995, Congress said, no, we're not doing it this way anymore. We are not going to simply pretend that every time we authorize spending, the federal government has the ability to go out and take debt. Instead, we do have to take some of the blame or credit for raising the debt ceiling, so we're going to bring back the debt ceiling debate. Now, in reality, we have to go back to the original system. Congress ought to have to specifically authorize precisely what sort of debt instrument needs to be used by the executive branch every time they spend. The reason they really should have to do that is because, again, they should be forced to consider the consequences of the spending that they do. But we have both a legislative branch and an executive branch that seem to want to just spend without any sort of end at all. Now, a lot of this is sort of a riff on modern monetary theory, which is this idiotic idea that the federal government can spend as much money as it could possibly want for literally the rest of time, because nobody is ever going to see the full faith and credit of the United States as in doubt. We are always going to be the world's strongest economy. We are always going to be the world's strongest currency. And if we aren't, well, we'll deal with that when we come to it. Janet Yellen, who, remember, was the head of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve was supposed to be a nonpartisan, non-political board. It is their job to see that the inflation rates remain low and that employment remains high. So Janet Yellen was supposed to be this nonpartisan person. Of course, that Chinese fence, that Chinese screen between the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve was obliterated long ago, but Janet Yellen has made clear just how fast that was obliterated. She moved directly from the Federal Reserve to the Treasury Department, where she has been now advocating to get rid of the debt ceiling entirely. The idea being that anytime Congress just passes something, it should automatically raise the debt ceiling so we can go out and we can borrow for it. And there will be no leverage to lower spending anytime in the future. Remember, the debt ceiling instrument has been used a couple of times in the past 10 years in order to lower spending or in order to jar certain political items loose. And it's not just a Republican thing. In 2006, Nancy Pelosi actually held up the debt ceiling in order to try and pry concessions from the Bush administration. But most famously, the debt ceiling debate was hit during the Boehner time as Speaker of the House, and the result was sequestration, which was a lowering of the rate of increase in government spending in the federal government. It was pretty controversial because Barack Obama insisted that half the cuts come from defense if there were going to be any cuts, because Barack Obama hated the Defense Department. But it was at least an instrument for attempting to lower the amount of money we spend. Now, we have the executive branch saying we want to spend without end, and we don't want any sort of congressional check on how much we can take out in order to pay for your spending. So this is breaking down along partisan lines. Frankly, you know, I'm at least mildly pleased that even Republicans are not on board with getting rid of the debt ceiling entirely. But here's Janet Yellen making the case.
Would you support simply eliminating the debt ceiling so that we don't have to deal with this in the future and can focus on real crises?
Yes, I would. If to finance those spending and tax decisions, it's necessary to issue additional debt, I believe it's very destructive to put the president and myself, the Treasury Secretary, in a situation where we might be unable to pay the bills that result from those past decisions.
Okay, the debt ceiling is a natural constraint on the growth of government. It at least provides a leverage point for reducing the growth of government. Janet Yellen wants it gone. And this is the entire theory of the Biden administration. There should be no limits on spending. It's spend, spend, spend until daddy takes the T-bird away. And when daddy takes the T-bird away, we hit austerity measures. We have to radically increase taxes. We have to cut benefits. And this has happened across Europe. So it's not as though this is unforeseeable. It is completely and utterly foreseeable. Not only that, when you ratchet up the spending, and at the same time you ratchet up the taxes and regulation, which is exactly what the Biden administration is seeking to do, all you end up doing is blowing money into an economy that is stagnating. Right? That's how you get stagflation. That's how you get the 1970s. Now, you can get economic stagnation without inflation. That's Japan in the 1990s, when regulation and lack of entrepreneurship basically destroyed the Japanese economy for more than a decade. That is, I think, a high probability at this point, and even Biden is recognizing that. He's forecasting over the course of the next decade less than a 2% rate of growth to the American GDP, which is a really rotten rate of growth. Okay, but you get stagflation if you have that rapid, that terrible stagnation, plus the federal government attempting to pour money into the system via forced subsidies. The Wall Street Journal has a piece today titled Stock Market's September Slump Exposes Messy Underside. Again, we now not only have the COVID vaccines, but now we have reports that Merck is coming out with a once-a-day pill that reduces the possibility of hospitalization and death from COVID, even if you get infected, by 50%. So we're coming up with excellent new therapeutics. We already have a vaccine that is highly effective. This pandemic, from a public policy perspective, is now over. But the Biden administration can't let it go. And not just that, they are firmly committed to this fiscal policy, which is really about the reorganizing of American life along social democratic lines, which has a cost. Right? Even Sweden, which embraced the so-called third way, this vast spending, vast taxation initiative in the 1970s, they had to get rid of a lot of those taxes and a lot of that spending, specifically because it didn't pay for itself. They had to free up their economy. I mean, there are studies by which the Nordic countries actually have freer business regimens and business markets than the United States does. They have less regulations. They have more ease in beginning a business in many of these countries than the United States does at this point. So the United States is going down a really bad path right here. Says the Wall Street Journal, markets tumbled to end the quarter, sending the S&P 500 to its worst monthly pullback since the pandemic-fueled sell-off of March 2020. Stocks began the day higher, only to slump in the following hours. The S&P 500 wound up falling 1.2% to 4,307.54 on Thursday, nearly erasing the entirety of its gains for the entire quarter. The DJIA, the Dow Jones, it shed 1.6%. As well, it suffered its first quarterly loss since the first 3 months of 2020. Now remember, this was the year when everything was supposed to just be guns blazing, gung-ho, no-holds-barred growth. Not really. Central bankers who were thinking this year's rise in inflation would wind up being a short-term phenomenon aren't sure how long transitory pressures will persist. Strategists who had predicted another strong quarter of economic growth are cutting estimates because of supply chain bottlenecks and the highly contagious Delta variants of COVID-19. Economic data have also been falling short of expectations. Citigroup's Economic Surprise Index, which tracks how much U.S. reports have been exceeding or undershooting estimates, fell this month to its lowest level since June 2020. The month proved a major setback for stocks, with all but one of the S&P 500's 11 sectors finishing lower in September. The S&P 500 is still up 15% for the year. It managed to squeeze out a sixth straight quarter of gains. The index is just a few percentage points away from its record close hit in early September. But not everything is moving together. The stock market is probably going to continue to gain, but not nearly as fast as people thought it was going to. The bond market has also caught many investors off guard. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note flitted above a narrow range for much of the quarter, only to stage a six-day rise above 1.5% between last week and Tuesday. That was the biggest such advance since June 2020. The move came after the Federal Reserve indicated it was ready to begin reversing its pandemic stimulus programs as early as November and considering raising interest rates next year, given a jump in inflation. Lizanne Saunders, chief investment strategist for Charles Schwab, says even though there's all this discussion about the market being resilient, the churn under the surface has shown more weakness. Saunders attributes the swift rotations taking place in the market to a bevy of investor worry. She says you have concerns about the virus, you have concerns about the debt ceiling, you have mixed economic data, and you've got uncertainty about monetary policy. She says, I don't know that we're going to get out of this mode anytime soon. And then there's inflation, which is also hitting and not going away. Remember, we were told this was transitory. We are now in October. This is not transitory inflation any longer. This has been continuous month-on-month inflation since the beginning of the year. Now, are we in full crisis mode at this point, given the fact that the debt ceiling is about to be hit and all of this? No, Democrats can pass the debt ceiling anytime they want. They can pass it as a clean bill. If they just brought up a debt ceiling increase and voted along reconciliation lines without any Republican support to raise the debt ceiling, they could. The reason that they won't do that is because they want to save that bullet. Understand, the reconciliation process can only be used three times a year. If they use it on the debt ceiling, they can't use it on some other piece of boondoggle legislation they would like to push. What they did do is they passed a short-term spending bill that averted a government shutdown. That extends for another couple of weeks. That was bipartisan. The Senate voted 65-35, the House 254-175. Lawmakers reached a deal, according to the New York Times, on the spending legislation after Democrats agreed to strip out a provision that would have raised the federal government's ability to continue borrowing funds through the end of 2022. The legislation keeps the government fully funded through December 3rd, which gives lawmakers additional time to reach consensus over the dozen annual spending bills that dictate federal spending. So we're not going to get a government shutdown, at least for the next couple of months. But meanwhile, the underlying worries continue because the underlying economic theory of this administration is very, very wrong and very, very bad. So Nancy Pelosi is ripping Mitch McConnell. She says he's playing Russian roulette by not raising the debt ceiling. Is he, though? Because you guys can pass the debt ceiling anytime you want. You have a majority in the Senate of the United States.
As Mitch McConnell himself has said about the need to address the debt limit, this is what he said last time. Don't play Russian roulette with our economy. Quote, yet that is exactly what he is doing, playing Russian roulette. Interesting that he's playing Russian roulette with our economy and with the financial security and the well-being of America's working families.
She's so crazy. She's so crazy. Okay, notice Russian. She does this now with everything. Right? Ever since the Russian collusion crap, every time she says the word Russian, she's like, interesting that it's Russian, isn't it? Every time she goes to a restaurant and the waiter's like, well, we do have this Caesar salad with Russian dressing. She's like, interesting, Russian. What mean you by this? She's so crazy. Okay, but again, what this has to do with is an overall spending package and feeling toward how the economy ought to work, not in conjunction with reality. That is going to lead to some pretty dire economic consequences. We'll get to more of that in just 1 second. First, summer is coming to an end. The leaves are about to fall. While Mother Nature does her thing to prepare you for the new season, you can do yours. Get free life insurance quotes with Policy Genius. Here's the thing. If you're a responsible human, you need life insurance. Let's say that you're just walking down the street, and all of a sudden, a rampaging mob of bulls just charges at you from behind. And as their hooves hit you in the skull, you think to yourself, man, I should have gotten life insurance. Don't let that be you. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now and check them out. They make it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you. They don't work for the insurance companies. So you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. The exclusive policy recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get started today. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, he says, oh yeah, you know, we were saying inflation was going to be transitory. Not so much. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Do you take a lot of medicine or take care of someone that does? Hero is the new smart device that makes life easier by pre-sorting a 90-day supply of up to 10 different pills. Just pour them in and Hero does the rest.
So easy to use and saves me so much time. I never miss a dose. I'm never late for a dose anymore. And that is so critical to me.
What I like best about my Hero is that it's so easy to set up and it's so easy to use. And I don't have to worry about my pills or get distracted and forget, did I take that pill or not? Because it reminds me.
It alerts and dispenses with the push of a button. Plus, Hero sends a friendly alert to you and a caregiver.
Hero is amazing, but you could even live out of state with the person and still program their Hero from the convenience of your phone.
I feel better than I have ever felt simply because I have this device.
Try Hero risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it.
Call 800-608-9432. That's 800-608-9432. 800-608-9432. Call now.
Paid for by Hero Health Incorporated.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So remember that time that inflation was supposed to be transitory? Everything was going to be hunky-dory? Well, now the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, he's like, it might last till next year. Remember, they said that this was going to be transitory. Not so transitory anymore.
It is frustrating to acknowledge that getting people vaccinated and getting Delta under control 18 months later still remains the most important economic policy that we have. And it's also frustrating to see the bottlenecks and supply chain problems not getting better. In fact, at the margin, apparently getting a little bit worse. And that's what has we see that continuing into next year probably, and holding inflation up longer than we had thought.
Whoops. All these experts who don't expect inflation when you just blow money into the economy. Who would have thought that? Shocker. Yeah, but again, all of this has to do with a generalized Biden administration and Democratic overlook, which is that spending money is an inherent good and private investment is an inherent bad. And the most obvious example of this perspective is something that I've talked about over the past couple of weeks. And that is the person that Joe Biden is trying to suggest as comptroller of the currency. According to the Wall Street Journal, President Biden checked off another progressive identity box last week by nominating Saul Omarova as comptroller of the currency. Some Trump appointees were ridiculed for having supported the elimination of their agencies. Ms. Omarova wants to eliminate the banks she's being appointed to regulate. The Cornell University Law School professor's radical ideas might even make Bernie Sanders blush. She graduated from Moscow State University in 1989 on the Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship. 30 years later, she still believes the Soviet economic system was superior and that U.S. banking should be remade in the Gosbank's image. Until I came to the U.S., I couldn't imagine that things like gender pay gap still existed in today's world. Say what you will about the old USSR, there was no gender pay gap there. Market doesn't always know best, she tweeted in 2019. In 2019, it's true, there was no gender pay gap in the USSR because everyone was poor. Because it was a communist country where people didn't have jobs and lived in penury. That would be why. Also, it seems that Soviet women were not exactly operating at the same exact level as Soviet men. And the suggestion that everybody's operating at perfectly equal levels in the Soviet Union is rather ignorant of history and economics. Then she said, I never claimed women and men were treated absolutely equally in every facet of Soviet life. But people's salaries were set by the state in a gender-blind manner, and all women got very generous maternity benefits. Both things are still a pipe dream in our society. It sounds like Bernie Sanders talking about the Cuban healthcare system. Sure, every so often they would take you and they would throw you in jail, and they might kill members of the family. And sure, your uncle had to float in a car from Havana to Miami. But they have great, great basic healthcare. You gotta give them that, literacy. Omarova thinks asset prices, pay scales, capital, and credit should be dictated by the federal government. In two papers, she's advocated expanding the Federal Reserve's mandate to include the price levels of systemically important financial assets as well as worker wages. She doesn't just want the Federal Reserve. Again, remember, this is the executive branch, not the legislative branch. First of all, the legislative branch should not have any power to do this either. Price and wage controls are not in the purview of the federal government. Frankly, they shouldn't be in the purview of the state government either, but they certainly are not in the purview of the federal government. Constitutionally speaking, nothing in the federal government's mandate of power, the Constitution of the United States, gives them the power to federally set wages or prices. That is not a thing. Okay, but even if you thought it were a thing, it would reside at the legislative level, not at the executive branch level. She wants it to reside inside the Federal Reserve, which is not even answerable to the executive branch. It's an independent agency. In a recent paper, the People's Ledger, she effectively proposed the Federal Reserve take over consumer bank deposits, end banking as we know it, and become a legitimate public platform for generating, modulating, and allocating financial resources in a modern economy. So the Federal Reserve would now become the lender to the American people. Want a mortgage? You go to the Federal Reserve. Want a business loan? You go to the Federal Reserve. Now, if you think that the Federal Reserve has a great history of this sort of stuff, I suggest that you take a look at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac from, say, 1999 to 2007. See how well that went. It turns out that when the government runs the lending programs, they bias toward the people who are more likely to be politically beneficial to them, and their top priority is not, in fact, profitability or any measure of the durability of the lending instrument. Instead, the only thing they care about is what it gets done politically, which is disastrous, obviously. She wants the U.S. to create a central bank digital currency, Fedcoin, to redesign our financial system and turn the Fed's balance sheet into a true people's ledger. She also believes that there should be a national investment authority with members overseen by an advisory board of the academics to finance a big, bold climate agenda. So, you know, a giant infrastructure bank, a green infrastructure bank. She wants a public interest council of highly paid academics with broad subpoena power to supervise financial regulatory agencies, including the Fed, without any constraints or requirements of the administrative process. If she were appointed comptroller, she would supervise about 1,200 financial institutions. She could punish banks that did not follow her diktats. Even Janet Yellen was like, this is too much for us. And Biden was like, well, going to do it anyway. Biden is going to do it anyway. Genius. Genius is in charge. Alrighty, coming up, it's the progressives versus Joe Manchin, and they just can't understand why Joe Manchin being Joe Manchin. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligation. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop in for an hour or more and try it out. Drop-in.mobi. That's drop-in.mobi.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Manchin is crushing progressive dreams. The infrastructure bill is being held up right now by progressives in the House who want some sort of commitment from Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema that they will vote for Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion package. Manchin and Sinema are like, no, we're not doing that. So the progressives are like, okay, well, we will hold up the infrastructure bill until you do that. That's not going to work. The reason that's not going to work is because Joe Manchin is from West Virginia and Kristen Sinema is from Arizona. Kristen Sinema only won by about 3% in the last election cycle. The only chance she has of holding that seat is being a maverick-style Democrat in the same way that John McCain was a maverick-style Republican. Joe Manchin is in the reddest state in America. Donald Trump won West Virginia by 40%. I don't mean he won 40%. I mean the margin of victory was 40% for Donald Trump in West Virginia, and yet they have a Democratic senator in Joe Manchin, which means that Manchin's actual political sort of future rests on him standing in the gap and saying to Democrats, no, we are not going to spend this kind of money, so he can go back to his constituents and say, listen, if you elect a Republican, there'll just be one more Republican among the rest of the Republicans. If you keep electing me, then I'm part of the Democratic coalition and I will stand up against the more rapacious aspects of the Democratic financial plan. And so this is a real holdup for the Democrats, no question. But I want to point something out, and that is how this debate is going. It's really quite fascinating. So normally, when you have a giant bill that is on the table, the details of the bill are what gets debated. When it was Obamacare, there were significant talks about exactly what was the mandate going to be? What were the penalties going to be? What kinds of plans were going to be available? Would there be a public option? Would there not be a public option? What would be encompassed in terms of what insurance companies were forced to cover? How would you deal with pre-existing conditions, right? These were all policy debates that were happening over Obamacare. By the way, Obamacare was projected to cost like $1 trillion. It'll cost about $2 trillion after all is said and done. Okay, this right now, what we're talking about is at least twice that size. It's probably $5 trillion when it's from the list price to the actual price, you're talking about probably a 5X differential from Obamacare. Okay, but put aside the price. That is the only thing that anyone can, like, do you know what's in the bill? You might know what's in the bill a little bit because I've talked about what's in the bill, right? Namely, a bunch of child tax credits that are not means tested, which is basically just a government giveaway. They also have a marriage penalty attached. We've talked about the community college funding. We've talked about the attempt to essentially make Head Start universal. Right? There's a bunch of stuff, the climate change proposals. I've talked about it, but that is not what you hear in the media. What you hear in the media is just the top line number. All that matters is the top line number, not the contents of the bill. Now, normally, the way that you'd make a case for a bill like this is, here's a bunch of good stuff we want to do, and here's how much money it's going to cost. If you don't like the cost, it's because you want to stop the good stuff we want to do. No one is talking about that bill in these terms. They are just talking about that bill in terms of, if you want $3.5 trillion, you are good. If you want less than $3.5 trillion, you are bad. It is all about the top line number. Why? Because the bottom line Democratic idea here is that all that matters is the spending. It doesn't matter where you spend it. It doesn't matter how you spend it. It doesn't matter what programs are involved. The only thing that matters is that you blow money out, that you make people more dependent. And you could just helicopter this cash over to the center of the United States, and the Democrats would be happy. It does not matter what programs are actually effectuated with the cash, which is why there are not any negotiations that are really happening between the progressives and the moderates, where the moderates say, listen, we got to curb this particular plan right here because we don't think it's good enough. And the progressives are like, well, if you're going to do that, we need to up the game right here because here's what we're trying to accomplish. Nobody's talking about what they are trying to accomplish, because the dirty secret is everyone knows what they're trying to accomplish. And that is the maximization of government intrusion into your life via either subsidies or regulation. That is what they're trying to accomplish. So they never discuss the details. The numbers are just a proxy for we want to run all aspects of your life and we want to fund all aspects of your life, or we want to fund slightly less of your life. Slightly fewer aspects of your life. That is why they only talk in terms of the top line. It really is fascinating, isn't it? Again, normally when you talk about a bill, you talk about the contents of the bill. No one's talking about the content of the bill. Number one, because the formal bill has not yet been proposed. And number two, because no one cares about the content of the bill. Here, for example, is Ilhan Omar talking about how much money she wants. Again, it's all about how much money they want, not what they want to do with the money.
We remain fully committed to passing the president's entire Build Back agenda. And, you know, delivering on that transformative change that the president ran on and that helped deliver the House, the Senate, and the White House. Now, as you remember, the Senate sent us a budget resolution that had the 3.5 price tag. What do they want to cut? Do they want to cut child care for families that desperately need it? Do they want to not address the climate crisis for a future generation? Do they not want to have hearing, vision, and dental care for the elderly?
Do they not want... Okay, that sort of blackmail is not going to work. Because, again, there is all this stuff available for all these people already. Okay, if you think that elderly people in the United States don't have any sort of way to get dental care, I don't know what world you are living in. Private means exist for dental care. Okay, that has been a thing for quite a while in the United States, as it turns out. It's not that there are a bunch of old gummers walking around all toothless. The notion that the elderly population in the United States is in complete lack of dental and vision care, and that we need to pay for it with the federal government, that's not the point. The point is the spending. The spending is the point. This is what Joe Manchin understands. Right? The spending is the point. And this is why you end up with headlines like from David Brooks. This is why we need to spend $4 trillion. $4 trillion. Look how he increased it by like 0.5 trillion. Just, you know, it's $500 billion. Yeah. David Brooks of the New York Times, who's being retweeted by Ron Klain. If you want to know what Biden is thinking, Biden's brain is not Biden. It is Ronald Klain, who's on Twitter basically tweeting out, a la Donald Trump, all of his interior monologues. So he tweeted out David Brooks's column today. David Brooks, who is one of the supposed in-house Republicans over at the New York Times, which is hysterical. He says, have we given up on the idea that policy can change history? Have we lost faith in our ability to reverse or even be alarmed by national decline? More and more, I hear people accepting the idea that America is not as energetic or youthful as it used to be. I can practically hear the spirits of our ancestors crying out, the ones who had a core faith that this would forever be the greatest nation on the planet, the New Jerusalem, the last best hope of Earth. My ancestors were aspiring immigrants and understood where the beating heart of the nation resided, with the working class and the middle class, the ones depicted by Willa Cather, James Agee, Ralph Ellison, or in The Honeymooners, The Best Years of Our Lives, and On the Waterfront. There was a time when the phrase the common man was a source of pride and a high compliment. Over the past few decades, there has been a redistribution of dignity upward. From Reagan through Romney, the Republicans valorized entrepreneurs, CEOs, and Wall Street. The Democratic Party became dominated by the creative class who attended competitive colleges, moved to affluent metro areas, married each other, and ladled advantages onto their kids so they could leap even further ahead. There was a bipartisan embrace of a culture of individualism, which opens up a lot of space for people with resources and social support, but means loneliness and abandonment for people without. 4 years of college became the definition of the good life, which left roughly two-thirds of the country out. And so came the crisis that Biden was elected to address, the poisonous combination of elite insularity and vicious populist resentment. The Democratic spending bills are economic packages that serve moral and cultural purposes. They should be measured by their cultural impact, not merely by wonky analysis. Okay, bottom line is, if we spend lots of money, this is going to make people feel good, is David Brooks' basic argument. You will feel better if we spend lots of money. I also enjoy the notion that the Founding Fathers would have been all on board with the federal government taxing us at exorbitant rates to fund every form of social welfare benefit they could possibly imagine. You know, precisely the stuff that they were rebelling against the British Empire for doing to them. I mean, they were literally rebelling against the British Empire because their taxes were too high and because they were concerned that their rights as Englishmen were being invaded because they did not have proper representation. What do you make of an executive government that basically regulates every aspect of your life without any input from you, as well as tax rates that would have made the British Empire blush? What do you make of that? But he's not going back to the Founding Fathers, obviously, David Brooks. He is going back to the FDR vision of what the United States should be, namely a quasi-socialistic enterprise. Okay, well, I mean, you can make that argument, but that's not going to be a very good argument. Okay, so anyway, Joe Manchin is standing in the breach because, again, his political motive here is to stand in the breach. If he does not stand in the breach, he loses his seat in West Virginia. So Joe Manchin came out yesterday and said, my limit is $1.5 trillion. Not $3.5 trillion, not $4 trillion, $1.5
trillion. No, no, my top line has not been. My top line has been 1.5 because I believe in my heart that what we can do and what the needs we have right now and what we can afford to do without basically changing our whole society to an entitlement mentality.
Right. I mean, he's correct about this. This has made him persona non grata inside the Democratic Party. Manchin then crushed more progressive dreams. He said, there will be no deal linking both bills. I'm not going to hold up the infrastructure bill so that they can ram through $3.5 trillion of spending. Not going to happen.
Senator, progressives feel, though, you're not dealing in good faith. They felt that there was a deal made before.
I never knew about that. Never heard of it.
So were never part of a deal that linked the two bills together?
About two of them are going to be together?
Yeah.
Why do you think we worked so hard to separate it?
That is correct. Okay, and then Manchin went even further. He said, you want $3.5 trillion? I like more liberals. I'm not one of those. Again, remember, his incentive structure here is to be a conservative Democrat, of whom there are very few left in the Democratic Party.
I've never been a liberal in any way, shape, or the form. There's no one has ever thought I was. I've been governor, I've been state secretary of state, I've been state legislature, I've been a U.S. senator, and I have voted pretty consistently all my whole life. I don't fault any of them who believe that they're much more progressive and much more liberal. God bless them. And all they need to do is we have to elect more, I guess, for them to get theirs, elect more liberals.
Ouch. Ouch. I mean, that is Joe Manchin just smacking down the squad. And then Joe Manchin dropped a bomb yesterday, just directly on Chuck Schumer's head. So Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have been playing this game where they're like, oh, no, we never. Well, it was always $3.5. It was not always $3.5 trillion. Joe Manchin actually just dropped a PDF of a framework deal signed by Chuck Schumer and Joe Manchin for $1.5 trillion in spending, not $3.5 trillion in spending. And by the way, again, Joe Manchin has already signed off this year on $1.9 trillion in spending earlier this year. This would be $1.5 trillion in spending. There'd be another $1 trillion in supplemental spending. By the time you get to the end of Joe Manchin's spending, the conservative guy, this year you'd be at $5 trillion. Okay, but he actually got Chuck Schumer to sign on to this. So Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi were going around being like, oh, that Joe Manchin, he's terrible. You signed this at the end of July, Chuck Schumer. So what does exactly this document say? It says the top line would be $1.5 trillion. The funds in the new legislation would not be dispersed until all funding from COVID legislation and ARP, the American Recovery Plan from earlier this year, has been spent. And one of the conditions was that the Federal Reserve would end quantitative easing. In other words, stop inflating the currency. It would require needs-based, means-tested guardrails and formulas on new spending, targeted spending caps on existing programs, no additional handouts or transfer payments. On climate, it would require spending on innovation, not elimination. So in other words, it would not be about eliminating coal because the man is from West Virginia. Also, any revenue exceeding $1.5 trillion would be used for deficit reduction. It would not be used for further spending. It would set the corporate tax rate not at 39% or 30%. It would set it at 25%. It would raise the top rate on ordinary income to 39.6%. That's the only area where there's broad consensus in the Democratic Party what they want it to be. It would raise the capital gains rate to 28% all in, right? Not 39%, which is what Biden was looking for. It would end the carried interest tax so-called loophole. And then it says, Senator Manchin does not guarantee he will vote for the final reconciliation legislation if it exceeds the conditions outlined in this agreement. He just dropped that bombshell directly on the head of Chuck Schumer. So yesterday was just Joe Manchin Day ripping the Democratic progressives apart. And he was pointing out correctly that inflation has real downstream effects for the person in the middle class. Like, this is something David Brooks doesn't seem to understand. And neither does the entire Democratic Party, except for Joe Manchin. Inflation hurts the little guy the most. Inflation, like, if you're a rich person and you have lots of wealth and savings, you know what you're doing with that stuff? Investing it. If you're the person who's spent their entire life building up a little bit of a bankroll, and then the government just keeps inflating, all those savings are worth less than they were yesterday. Let's say that you're a retiree on a fixed income. What does inflation do to you? Here's Joe Manchin pointing this out.
I asked for the strategic pause because after that, then we basically had COVID coming back at us, and we have all the unknowns right now, especially with what the financial fallout might be, or the geopolitical fallout, the geopolitical fallout that might come from the Afghanistan departure, and also inflation. I'll give you a perfect example. In West Virginia, I just saw today to where the $1 what we call general dollar store, Dollar General. They're no longer Dollar General. They're $1.25, $1.50 General. That's hard for West Virginians. A lot of people do shop there, and that's all they have. We have to take all this in consideration.
So that is bad, according to the Democrats. Okay, remember, this is all about the common man. I promise you, Joe Manchin represents the common man far more than Chuck Schumer does. That is certainly true. In just one second, we'll get to the media response to all of this, which is just screaming into the void. First, does it make any sense that the same company that controls half of online retail also passively eavesdrops on your private conversations at home? Every site you visit, video you watch, message you send gets tracked and data mined. It's time to put a layer of protection between your online activity and these tech juggernauts. That's why I use ExpressVPN. Think about how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, every site you visit, video you watch, message you send gets tracked and data mined. When you run ExpressVPN on your device, the software hides your IP address, something big tech can use to personally identify you. So ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your internet data to keep you safe from hackers and eavesdroppers on your network. And ExpressVPN does all of that without slowing your connection, which is why it's rated the number one VPN service by both CNET and TechRadar. What I like most about ExpressVPN, it is super easy to use. Download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, now you are protected. So, stop handing over your personal data to the big tech monopoly that mines your activity and sells your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me safe online. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben right now to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, if you were to pick a group of people who are most likely to speak to the common man, it would probably be like late night TV hosts, right? Well, they're all real mad at Joe Manchin. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org. Sponsored by Oxfam America.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Some late night comedy hosts who are no longer involved in comedy at all, they're very angry at Joe Manchin. So here you have the Daily Show ripping Joe Manchin.
Introducing Manchin, the politics game where everyone works together. Almost.
We're going to pass an infrastructure bill.
You play as the Democratic majority in the Senate. But watch out, one player is the Manchin.
I have concerns over the partisan nature of this legislation.
Uh-oh. Looks like someone's the Manchin.
But Kyle, we're on the same team. You know, America.
This bill cannot move forward without the support of at least one Republican colleague.
But there are no Republicans here. They didn't want to play.
With Manchin, you can feel the excitement of a narrow majority held hostage by one sanctimonious head.
So much humor. He's a sanctimonious, you see? It's funny. It's funny. Man, really pushing the boundaries of comedy. Remember that time when comedy used to make you laugh? Seth Meyers doesn't. Here's Seth Meyers being not funny.
You've got two senators, Joe Manchin, who's been called a kingmaker by fossil fuel executives and personally profits from the coal industry, and Kyrsten Sinema, who's raked in hundreds of thousands in donations from Big Pharma and has been raising money from business groups, holding up a bill that would tackle climate change, establish paid family leave, make community college tuition free, transform child care, and expand access to health care, among many other things. Name one thing in this bill you think is unpopular. Paid family leave, child care tax credit, dental benefits for Medicare.
He's so funny. I am enjoying the notion from Democrats that if you don't vote the way that they want you to vote, it's because you're being bribed. Joe Manchin is doing this because of the bribery, and so is Kyrsten Sinema. That's why, because they are being bribed. That's clearly the issue here. So, a few things. One, if we're going to talk about open bribery, the Democratic Party is so in hock to places like the teachers' unions that they will literally rewrite CDC standards in order to please the teachers' unions. Second of all, as a typical rule, you take donations from groups that are politically aligned with you. Okay, and if Kyrsten Sinema were presumably aligned the other way, she'd be receiving donations from other groups. I mean, that's how politics typically works. But really, good on you guys. Good on the elite media for deciding that anyone who disagrees with them, it's because they're attempting bribery. All the while ignoring the fact that the entire Democratic program is an attempt to bribe voters with their own money. Right? Take money from, in some cases, not their own money. In some cases, from their next door neighbor. Right? We'll take your next door neighbor's money, we'll give it to you, and then you'll vote for us. Seems to be the Democratic pitch here. But they're all for the common man. It's all the common man. It's all the common good. Again, their basic idea here is we spend endless amounts of money forever, and there's no downside ever. And all we gain is more and more control over your life. Now, I would be remiss if I did not note that there is a new standard with regard to immigration. I mean, this administration is a bleep show in so many ways. The DHS has issued new arrest and deportation guidelines to immigration agents, right? This comes just a week after the DHS lied about its own agents by suggesting they were whipping immigrants, illegal immigrants at the border. The Biden administration said that. Biden said it. Harris said it. Mayorkas said it. It was all a lie. Now, the DHS is issuing new regulations. What do these regulations do, according to the Washington Post? Quote, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas issued broad new directives to immigration officers on Thursday, saying the fact that someone is an undocumented immigrant, quote, should not alone be the basis of a decision to detain and deport them from the United States. oh, that's not, but aren't you like the immigration, like border patrol? So your job is to patrol the border. But if someone crosses the border illegally, that is not alone the basis to detain or deport them from the United States. I wonder why people think there's an open border here. It's bewildering to me. Who could have predicted such a thing? The same time these people are releasing, there are 15,000 people under the bridge in Del Rio, Texas. 10 to 12,000 of them, according to Mayorkas, entered the United States. I wonder why everyone thinks there's an open border here in the United States. Maybe because there's an open border here in the United States thanks to these tool bags. So now you're not just combining bad economic policy with inflationary policy and bad fiscal policy. You got bad economic policy, bad fiscal policy, endless welfare benefits, and an open border. I can't see how anything here is gonna be bad. It's all probably gonna be great. Now, even Bernie Sanders used to be in favor of a closed border. He was in favor of a closed border because he made the perfectly plausible and rational argument that if you offer endless welfare benefits to people and leave the border open, you won't be able to pay for everyone. So much for that. We've got an administration that wants endless welfare benefits for pretty much everybody. And also an open border. An amnesty program is on the way for those who say, well, you know, illegal immigrants can't receive things like federal welfare benefits. First of all, they can receive in some states state welfare benefits. They receive free public education for their kids. But beyond that, the administration would very much like to make all these people citizens as fast as humanly possible. Does this look like a recipe for the success of the United States, or does it look like an attempt to gain ultimate power for the rest of time by the Democratic Party? Endless welfare benefits, endless bribery, endless spending combined with open borders is one hell of a combo. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh has tested positive for COVID.
The High Court issued a press release saying that Kavanaugh has no symptoms and has been fully vaccinated since January. Kavanaugh's wife and daughters are also fully vaccinated, and they tested negative. The court's new term begins on Monday, and the justices are returning to the courtroom to hear arguments after an 18-month absence because of the coronavirus pandemic. They had been hearing arguments via telephone. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, federal judge hearing arguments over whether Texas can leave in place its new pro-life law. U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman will consider whether to temporarily halt the law that bans abortions once cardiac activity is detected. Consumer spending up in August. Ben Thomas has that story.
The Commerce Department reports consumer spending rose 0.8%, while incomes rose just 0.2% in August. Spending was up for furniture, clothing, and groceries, as well as online, down for travel and eating out. Snarled supply chains kept inflation high, with consumer prices up 4.3% compared with a year ago.
New vehicle sales falling in September as a global shortage of computer chips worsened. Forecasters expect September sales to be down about 25%. People have gathered to remember those victims in the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history 4 years ago in Las Vegas. Ceremonies throughout the day, a gunman opened fire, killing 58 people. And a shooting at a Houston school Friday. Authorities say a former student of the charter school shot and wounded an employee, then quickly surrendered to police. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Olive got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DINOVITE.com.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dynavite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got 4 dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dynavite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dynavite from Dynavite.com.
Dynavite.com.
Apparently, the bad guys stay busy even in a pandemic. Ken Lorman has more on that story.
Of the $16 billion in pandemic-driven unemployment payments that have been distributed, officials in Arizona now say that 30%, or over $4 billion, went to scammers who siphoned the funds via identity theft. Nationally, over $87 billion in taxpayer funds was lost the same way.
A group of more than 20 current and former employees accusing Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin rocket ship company of being a toxic work environment. They claim company leaders are unapproachable and there's obvious bias against women. Also, safety concerns. They say the company was more focused on beating other billionaires than tackling safety issues. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Russia has stopped sending natural gas to Hungary by way of Ukraine's pipeline network. Supplies have been rerouted. The BBC's Mike Sanders reports.
Washington and Brussels have long warned about Europe's reliance on Russian gas. The huge spike in prices as the European winter approaches has heightened that concern. The CEO of Ukraine's gas transit company, Sergei Makagon, said Gazprom's monopolization of gas routes raised questions about the fundamental transparency and competitiveness of the European gas market. He said its leverage for obvious political purposes must be stopped.
Solid gains on Wall Street Friday. The Dow was up 482 points for the session at 34,326. NASDAQ gained 118 at 14,566. S&P 500 gained 49. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
This is what happens when you have a president and a treasury secretary who are on a mission from God to please pink-haired wokers who carry around Ziploc bags of kale. This is what happens when you have a president and a secretary who want to tax, spend, and regulate America into neo-socialism.
I don't know if there's anything neo about it, but other than that, a pretty good summary by Senator John Kennedy. I had to pause to go like this. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Happy, happy Friday. The weekend is nearly upon us. The Democrat Party is pretty wacky, I gotta say. Now, where'd you see this, Michael? The Justice Brett Kavanaugh has tested positive for COVID-19. U.S. Supreme Court justice that the left tried to destroy with smears and falsehoods. Slimy smears and falsehoods by slimy. Hey, is that like, what was her name? Julie Swetnick? Swetnick, has she been held responsible for the lies and the smears and the, no? We just live in a responsibility-free city and in a responsibility-free era, don't we? Of course, on the other hand, some people are held responsible to excess. Like, for example, Enrique Tarrio of the Proud Boys. He's the black-white supremacist that you've heard so much about. He sits in jail. No bail for him, right? Because of what he did, the same thing that David Gregory did at NBC News. He was in possession of a magazine that was in excess of 10 rounds capacity, which David Gregory did. Yeah, but he was doing a little show and tell, so I guess it's okay. But this black guy who's a son of Cuban migrants, he's a white supremacist. I read it in the newspaper. It's got to be true. And he's in jail. And then we have Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel. He's sitting in solitary confinement because he was critical of the military leadership in the United States after that debacle in Afghanistan. He sits in jail. You see, they're going after another Marine now. Going after another Marine who was there during the evacuation in Kabul, Afghanistan. He's one of the Marines that was photographed by our corrupt news media lifting a baby to safety out of the crowd of rabble that, you know, most of which have been transplanted to the United States, sexually assaulting girls and stuff like that. Well, not all of them, just a whole lot of them. And that Marine is now in the dock. He's in the crosshairs because he dared to attend a Trump rally. Not in uniform or anything, but he dared to attend a Trump rally because these people, let me tell you about these people. They're not such good people. I know that much for sure. It is, it's really a different time in America. And also people are being, we were going through some audio this morning, which I will be sharing with you, and Michael Piercy and I were. And there's a school teacher in New York who is being told that she doesn't have a job because she refuses to submit to the Democrat Party's mandate, to their edict. You know, liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. And a school teacher who is Jewish and observes her faith, and she says reasons of faith, doesn't want to get the vaccine, and that's true of many Christians as well. She's being told that she doesn't have a job after today. Don't bother showing up on Monday. And by the way, in New York, you will not get unemployment benefits because when they fire you, they say that you're quitting. So you don't get unemployment and there are no health insurance. So they throw you out on the street to the extent that it's possible to do so. And never before in my lifetime have I seen a United States of America where, religious beliefs were so utterly disrespected by one of our major political parties. That's the Democratic Party. That's what they call themselves. As I like to say, you know, like friendly fire isn't, as they say in the military. The Democratic Party isn't. And that is a straight up fact. I grew up in a Democratic Party household. My beloved departed mother, a lifelong Democrat. And today's Democrat Party is unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. When compared to the Democratic Party that I grew up in, that I grew up with, and that so many of us did. This is an unrecognizable party. The Democratic Party isn't, is a perfectly good summary or summation of what they have become. They become something very, very undemocratic. And, of course, utterly disrespectful of people's religious beliefs. They've been that way for some time. This is just another opportunity for them to prove that. Also, the giant spending thing. You see, Nancy Pelosi promised there would be a vote yesterday on their big thing. There wasn't. Another lie from Nancy Pelosi. Do you think her face has gotten better since we saw her last time? Probably not, I'm guessing. Probably not. But she's looking scary and behaving in a scary way as well. She's a scary person, I think, is the thing about her. And not a good person, not an honest person, not a person of integrity. That's a big problem that we've got in Washington these days. A lot of people who lack integrity, just fundamental basic, the tenets of integrity, of honesty and decency and so on. Used to be, normal American, values. Not so much anymore, thanks to certain people. But in any event, We've got that going. Also, I had a nice conversation yesterday with a couple of my neighbors and friends who are, they were raised in the Soviet Union. They escaped communism. They both have PhDs and were both, professors / teachers in St. Petersburg, the Soviet Union,
Russia. And now they live here, and they're flag-waving, patriotic Americans who love the United States more than Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden combined, for sure. And I had a fascinating conversation with them yesterday. Very smart people, political science PhD types, from the Soviet Union, educated in the Soviet Union. To say that they're not pro-Soviet would be generous understatement. And having a conversation with them yesterday, my neighbors and friends. And some fascinating things from them. I mean, again, fled the Soviet Union, PhDs, political scientists, raised under communism, virulent anti-communists. I've made reference to these people before on the radio. They warned me when Barack Obama was campaigning that this is the beginning of what they said is communism in the United States of America, and that is being sold to us, you know, like a can of delicious soup. And they warned me about Barack Obama when he first came along. We've been having an ongoing discussion ever since that some time now. And when I saw them yesterday, I don't want to use their names, but they're very Russian names and wonderful people. And we spent New Year's with them 1 year and great people. And talking to them, he. Which is his chosen pronoun, you know, he, his, him, all that good stuff. And he said he's been analyzing where we are now as a nation. And as you know, they're kind of doing a little I told you so. They don't have to because I knew they were right all along. But said they're looking at today's left in the United States of America. He said they're much closer to the National Socialist model than they are to the USSR model, the Soviet model. The USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, had a certain model, the way that they pursued authoritarianism and totalitarianism. And the National Socialists, he said, in Italy and Germany, where they allowed industry to remain as long as they were subjugated by the party. He said what we're seeing develop in America, evolve in America today, is much closer to that model, the National Socialist model, than to the Soviet Socialist model or the Chinese Socialist model, Chinese Communist model. Much closer, he said, because of the relationship with industry. And I said, well, it's funny you should say that, because I was pointing out the same thing on the radio yesterday. Said, really? They listen sometimes, but they're busy people. They don't listen all the time. And said, really? I said, yeah, it's pretty much the same point I was making. And this raised in the Soviet Union, educated in the Soviet Union, PhD, political scientist, saying the same thing that I was saying yesterday on the radio. I thought, try the soup. Where's the spoon? And so we had a nice conversation about that. And it's very disturbing. And they're very disturbed, of course, because they fled totalitarianism, authoritarianism, socialism, whether national or international. And it's true. I've made the same point. And I thought it was gratifying, reaffirming to have a Soviet-educated PhD political scientist echo, without having listened, echo what I was saying yesterday about how and I've said before as well, that they're much closer, really, because of the subjugation and the collaboration, the collusion of industry, like Jack Dorsey at Twitter and Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook and Jeff Bezos of Amazon and The Washington Post, to be in cahoots with industry advancing the efforts of the party is closer to the National Socialist German Workers Party, and of course Benito Mussolini and his fascist party in Italy, much closer to that model. That's what I've been saying, and that's because it's true. If you don't believe me, then it's because you don't know enough. That's the bottom line of that. Thank you very much. That's good. Yeah, that's right, though. That's absolutely right. Okay, now back to, first of all, Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh now having tested positive for the COVID. Oh, and I said to Michael as soon as this broke just moments ago, I said, I'll just go to what I wrote, actually. It'll be better that way. I said, let's watch the left go crazy with happiness and wishes of death. All right, that's the first thing I said to Victor and to Michael this morning. And I said, start your stopwatches, because the left will immediately jump in and start wishing death and murder on a man much better than themselves, a good and decent man who is smeared and slandered by slime balls like Julie Swetnick and that crazy person with the dirty eyeglasses and with the two front doors who's afraid of flying unless you send your private jet and all this good stuff. So Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh tests positive for COVID days before new term begins, is the headline at CNBC. And WHIO, Justice Kavanaugh tests positive for COVID, has no symptoms. See, has no symptoms is the second part of it, because he's probably a pretty healthy guy. I don't know if he's vaccinated. Does it say whether he's vaccinated or not? And he said, Michael says that he texted a liberal friend immediately, he texted him, and his liberal friend got back immediately, too bad he's probably vaccinated. See, too bad he's probably vaccinated. And he is vaccinated, and he has no symptoms, thanks to President Trump and American pharmaceutical companies and Fast Track. Millions and millions of people around the world are safe, you know, from death and severe illness. Apparently, Brett Kavanaugh is one of them. I was vaccinated, not once, but twice. Well, it was a two-shot thing, but that's okay. My best girl, she got the one-shot thing. The Johnson & Johnson. They call it J&J now because everything has to be reduced to abbreviations and acronyms. Yeah, so immediately they start wishing death. Too bad he's with a frowny face emoji because, you know that I've never sent an emoji that I'm aware of. And I'm not, certainly not deliberately. I've never sent an emoji in response to anything on a text message or in an email or anyplace else. And I've never written one on a wall, or I've never sent an emoji of any kind like that. Yeah, too bad he's probably vaccinated, because they're a bloodlusty, murderous lot. They're the left, and they hate. Their central value is hate. It's got to be so exhausting to be a lib, because you got to hate everybody. You got to hate people you drive by in vehicles. If somebody's driving a Humvee, you hate them. If they're driving a Cadillac Escalade, you hate them. If you're driving an AC Cobra, great American roadster, they hate you. If you're, you know, you're flying in first class and they're not, you know, if they're in first class, then they're fine, but they probably hate you anyway. They hate everybody. They hate white people. Even their white people hate white people. It's crazy. You got to hate everybody when you're a lefty and be angry about everything all the time. It's got to be exhausting. Just got to be exhausting is all get out, doesn't it? Yeah. So, And in California, because National Panhandler Radio is on the job, in California, they've got a new program there. They're going to combat methamphetamine, which is flowing in across the open border and killing people in record numbers, more than 90,000 deaths in the United States, overdose deaths in the United States last year, largely due to open border and the opioids that come from China, which is communist, where they keep the city of Wuhan, where the Wuhan Red Death originated, in all probability at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is in part funded with U.S. taxpayer dollars, which Tony Fauci didn't really tell the truth about, but Dr. Anthony Fauci. But in California, they've got a new plan to combat methamphetamine addiction. They're going to pay drug users to stop using methamphetamine. You know, you pay drug users, generally what they do is they buy more drugs, right? Ask Hunter Biden. Is he a crackhead or a meth head? It's like, you know, I used to be a heroin addict, but now I'm a methadone addict. And Hunter Biden, I don't think he used to be anything. I think he still is. But the, you know, history proves that if you give drug addicts a pile of money, what they're probably going to do is buy drugs. I don't know if you ever known one of these people with drug addiction, but that's kind of the pattern there. California, they got a new idea. Brett Kavanaugh, we will wish him the best here and a speedy recovery. And I'm glad that he's got no symptoms and that he's vaccinated and he's going to be okay. And the left just hates. They're just scorching hatred for every decent person, every honest person, every person of integrity. But they like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden. Oh, and they like Sirhan, for example. Has he been released yet because he made parole? What's holding things up, for crying out loud?
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Remember when California was the golden state? Not anymore. Soaring crime, overregulation, high taxes, forcing taxpayers to flee. Now Newsmax's Rob Schmidt looks at what happened in his special series, California, It's Over. Rob walks the Reagan Ranch with Governor Kristi Noem. He talks to the insiders and reports from Los Angeles. Find out why you need to be worried, because California's mess may soon be coming to your state. Watch Rob Schmidt on Newsmax at 10 p.m. Eastern. Newsmax is on every major cable system. Just check your cable guide. If your system doesn't carry Newsmax, call your operator or switch to a service that does. Get Newsmax on most streaming services like Samsung, Roku, Pluto, Zumo, or download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. It takes just a few seconds, then you can watch anytime, anywhere. California's nightmare is spreading. Watch Rob Schmidt on Newsmax tonight.
My grand opening is tomorrow. Can I get custom posters printed today?
It's possible with Staples Connect.
I need to promote my new curbside pickup service.
Also possible. Staples Connect can help your business grow with custom printed sales and marketing materials. Now get 20% off signs, banners, or posters when you spend $75 or more. Explore what's new at your local Staples. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Ends 10-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/signage for details.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red-hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Because when you find the perfect home, you don't want to lose it to anybody else. Rocket technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers and their agents greater confidence in you. We've already helped over 1 million clients, just like you, reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can help you buy the home you really want? Rocket can. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 8338-ROCKET. That's rocketmortgage.com or call 8338-ROCKET.
Rocket. A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information appraisal and title report. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, and I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
By the way, Jimmy Carter, also known as James Earl Carter, no relation. Jimmy Carter turns 97 years young today. You know you're getting old when people say you're not, you're years young. Hey, he's 114 years young. Jimmy Carter turns 97. God bless him. He was born in Plains, Georgia on October 1st, 1924. And did you see him recently, that picture with Rosalynn in Plains, Georgia, in their little chairs? And Joe Biden and Jill Biden were standing next to them, and it looked like they were sock puppets. You know, Joe Biden and Jill Biden looked normal size, but Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn Carter looked like they were sock puppets sitting in the chair. They looked like they were ventriloquist dummies. Now, you know, I hope Jimmy Carter lives to be 135 years old. He has lived long enough to see a worse president come along. That's got to be a big thing for him, I've got to think. And he'd been waiting that for a long time. He probably didn't think it would happen in his lifetime. I mean, what are the odds? But then along came Joey, woo-hoo-hoo, and he's got some absolution there, because Joe Biden is definitely worse than Jimmy Carter as president in so many ways. But Jimmy Carter, 97 years old, the oldest, not only the currently living president, but no president has lived. No American president has lived to be 97 years old. So he's our oldest ever president. And God bless him. I wish him the best. I wish him well. Because I'm not a murderous, bloodlusty lefty like, you know, they are with Brett Kavanaugh already.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company, and why Megastar Financial?
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, is having a summer clearance sale. Save big on some of the highest quality safes around. High Noble Safe Company carries High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few, and features gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Delivery, moving, and repair service available. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter, 97 years old today. So, I think we all want to wish a happy birthday to the second worst president in the history of the United States of America. Probably the second worst president. Now, Luke was saying this morning, well, you know, it's true, Jimmy Carter's the second worst president, and Joe Biden is the worst president in American history. But they've got worse waiting in the wings. They've got more lined up that are going to be even worse. They are, they're not on our side. Jimmy Carter was at least on our side. It didn't show in any relevant ways, but he wasn't against us, and he wasn't anti-capitalist, and he screwed things up. Sure, he was wrong about a lot, but not like this generation of crazy people. That's for sure. The Washington Post headline today: Biden sticks to his deal-making strategy. It's his deal-making strategy. There was no deal yesterday, and he's got nothing on his agenda today. I went to the White House website today to see what Joe Biden had on his schedule for the day, and there's nothing. He's got nothing on his schedule for today. He's going to have a briefing private behind closed doors, and that's it. That's all there is to it. Did you see this when Joe Biden went to get his shot? He went to get his booster shot the other day. And it was done in the what they call the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. They used to call it the old Executive Office Building, kind of a French colonial building, next door to the White House, inside the fence line of the White House compound, right? So basically a city block. And he went next door, and there's a kind of an auditorium there where they hold events. And Joe Biden, you may recall, the nurse was there trying to give him a shot, and they couldn't get his sleeve to go up, rolled his sleeve up and kept trying to get it to go up as high as the shoulder. He wore the wrong shirt to get a shot, you know, because that's the kind of planner that he is. Look at Afghanistan. And, so they couldn't get his sleeve to go up to the shoulder. They had to give him a little blue pill, to make the sleeve go up. And then he took the little blue pill and then the sleeve went up. It's a miracle of, modern pharmacology. And, they gave him the shot. But behind him, there were white walls and big, windows with trees outside and columns. And it's very fancy looking because, you know, he's at the White House and he's got, the thing is, the room that he's in is a big auditorium room with a stage and TV lights hanging from the ceiling. And it's not a White House-y looking room at all. And the windows are fake windows and the trees out the windows are what they call a Duratran. That is a, a see-through plastic screen with fake trees on the fake windows. Because the windows are fake, the columns are fake, the trees outside the fake windows are fake, and the whole backdrop that Joe Biden was sitting in front of was fake. It was a fake White House-looking set that they have built in this auditorium in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building next door to the White House. Now, the interior of the Eisenhower Executive Office Building doesn't look like the White House at all. It's a completely different building. Michael's nodding. He knows. We've been there. We interviewed President Trump there, met President Trump in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. It's a beautiful, wonderful building, but it doesn't look like the White House. Completely different architectural style and everything else. And so they have this fake set. It's like a TV set that you might see for a soap opera, you know, like, or the West Wing or something, to look like the White House. It's a fake TV set. Now, it's on the White House grounds, but it's not in the White House. And it is and right behind it, you can walk right behind it, you know, and move the lights around and stuff, because it's basically a TV set that they used for Joe Biden to get his shot. And then somebody pointed it out because some wide shots, some wide pictures emerged showing some, I don't know if they're White House staffers or fake reporters, makes no difference, same thing, sitting in seats in the kind of audience area. It's like a movie theater looking set and up on the stage of the movie theater or whatever theater. It's a theater. And they have this fake looking White House set with the fake windows and the fake trees out the windows. So Joe got his shot once they got his sleeve up. And somebody pointed out once a wide shot was published that this is a fake set. This is like a TV set. It's a fake set. And then who was it that fact checked it? PolitiFact. I call them PolitiFake because they're not fact checkers at all. Did you send that to me? Because PolitiFact, I point out all the time that they're fraudulent. They're a Democrat Party joke. And is that the Poynter Institute group? I think that's the Poynter Institute group. But there's just another Democrat Party outlet, this PolitiFact, and they're fake. And they've got their little needle with the red dot, and it says false PolitiFact truth-o-meter. But they're lying because they lie constantly at PolitiFact. You can't believe them at all. Like Snopes. Snopes is a complete joke. They're not a fact-checking outfit. They're an extension of the Democrat Party also, just like PolitiFake over here. And their headline on PolitiFact says, no, White House didn't create fake set just for Joe Biden's booster shot. Now that's a pretty narrow thing to, no, you're right. They didn't create it just for Joe Biden's booster shot. They already had the fake set in place. They had used it for something else 5 days earlier. And then they used the fake White House set in the old Executive Office Building in the theater. They used it for the shot with the fake window behind him and the fake trees and the fake leaves. But the fake set PolitiFact, you see, they say they deny something very narrow. This is what snakes and weasels without integrity do. and PolitiFact, the Poynter Institute. I've known former journalists that went to work at the Poynter Institute. So they can, you know, keep lying in their golden years. They can, it allows them to keep doing what they do. White House, quote, created fake set for President Joe Biden to get his booster shot. The entire Biden presidency is a giant, one giant charade. This is what they're fact-checking, and they declare it to be completely false. The reality is, behind him, there's a fake window. In the fake window, you can see a fake west wing of the White House as you're looking across the Rose Garden. There are fake leaves of, what kind of trees would you say those are? Those big trees you find in the South. And magnolia, I think it's a magnolia tree. And it's, the window is fake. The flags are real. The backdrop is fake. And yet PolitiFact objects and says, no, the White House didn't create fake set just for Joe Biden's booster shot. See how they lie? They're such snakes at the Poynter Institute. Does any weasel have their name on this? It does. Lewis Jacobson is the designated liar for the Poynter Institute and PolitiFact on this one. And he goes on and on. An Instagram post says fake president, fake White House receiving fake booster. And, you know, what are you fact-checking, you clowns? And then you show the wide shot, and you see that up on the stage in this theater in the old executive office building, the Eisenhower building, they have this fake set with fake windows, and behind them is not the Rose Garden and the West Wing. It's fake, all right? But these people at PolitiFact, if you don't dig into everything they read, you are being lied to by them. It's not totally false. And there's the picture that was released in the news media video shot of the fake window behind him with the fake West Wing behind him and the fake Rose Garden and the fake magnolia trees. And yet PolitiFact says no. And again, the denial is very narrow because they say that they've used the set before. So that makes it, I guess, honest and okay, right? And if somebody points out that it's a fake backdrop, see, they decided to fact check something that they could at least argue was not entirely accurate. But if the claim that they fact checked was the White House used a fake backdrop for Joe Biden's shot, then that would be 100% true. And you know that people said that, but they didn't fact-check that because that would be true. So they fact-checked somebody that said that they created it just for this event. Turns out that's not entirely true, so that's what they're fact-checking. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Yeah, just for Joe Biden's booster shot. Okay, so that's not true. They built it for the fake set for something else to deceive us earlier. I said the backdrop wasn't created for the booster shot at all. It had been used 5 days earlier for a global coronavirus summit. We rate the statement false. I rate your statement false. And this is why even the fact checkers can't be trusted. And this person is named Lewis Jacobson, and he is not a real fact checker. He's a fake. All right. So I just wanted to say that because that's the case. Man, oh, man. And this is our media. And again, the Poynter Institute is a bunch of former media people who claim that they're keeping the media honest. And this is an example of the fact that they're frauds, that they're charlatans, that they're dishonest, that they're deceptive, that you can't trust them. The same is true of Snopes, the fact checkers there. I fact check them all the time. And again, somehow it always comes down on the side of the Democrat Party's position, and it always comes down, even when they're wrong, to the detriment of Republicans and to the benefit of Democrats every single time. Every single time. Amazing. Amazing stuff.
Snopes gave it a mixture.
Who gives it? Oh, Snopes gives it a mixture? Is that right? Snopes fact-checked it, too? Because they did Biden fake. See, this is a... Did Biden fake COVID-19 vaccine booster shot event? Well, I don't know who claimed that. But now, once again, they're fact-checking something that nobody claimed, except some guy on Facebook said something, so they fact-checked that. And Joe Biden was photographed purportedly receiving COVID-19 vaccine booster dose on a set that featured props and digital images. That's true. Proving the entire event, including the shot, was a fake. See, now, again, they throw in this other thing so they can fact check it false or mixed. When in reality, the first part of it, there were props and digital images. That's true. So they don't, that's not what they want to fact check, because then they'd have to say that's true and make Joe Biden look bad. So they find some random person on Facebook that say, including the shot was fake. And then they say, but the shot wasn't fake, because they don't know that. They just said they can't. Yeah, the White House told them. And if you can't believe them, who can you believe? Man, oh man. Boy, oh boy. What's true, Biden was indeed photographed receiving an injection on a stage in an auditorium on the White House's campus in front of artificial windows that displayed digital images. The same set has been used for other events. So it's a TV set not in the White House with a fake rose garden, a fake West Wing behind him, a fake magnolia tree. I'm sticking with magnolia. What's false, there was no evidence or indication that anything other than the backdrop wasn't real. Nobody said anything of the kind. Visual evidence shows a needle going into the president's arm. Well, I had one of those when I was a kid. You know, the needle spring, it's on a spring and it goes right into the... And this is what they're fact-checking, because nobody said that. They don't even say who made the claim. It's just some random, like, Facebook claim. Snopes is a joke, and the Poynter Institute is a joke, and PolitiFact is a joke. They're Democrat Party front groups. That's just a fact. That is a fact. Man, oh, Manischewitz. Let's go to the telephones, because we haven't done that yet. It's Friday. I've got a lot of things to get to here. But there's never enough time. Let's go to Patrick, calling from Loudoun County, Virginia. Patrick, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
My man, Chris, good morning.
How are you?
Doing? Happy Friday.
Thank you very much.
I'm doing great.
I'm great, too.
I can't complain. I live in the greatest country in the world.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Chris, how hasn't the left come after you yet and canceled you?
Well, gosh. They take their shots. You know, we've got to, every now and then we have to call the police and things, and they're always taking it. I guess, you know, the problem they have is that everything I say is true, isn't it? That's kind of a problem. But they take their shots. They make their efforts. They hate everybody. They hate people that tell the truth. They hate honest people. They hate people of integrity, and they seek to destroy people of integrity that tell the truth, because it steps on their whole thing, doesn't it, Patrick?
Sure does. Chris, hey, real quick
yeah.
question.
Yes, sir.
If Joe Biden, which he might play at this point, it, we're in year one. If, you know, he wakes up or doesn't wake up one morning, shall I say, I hope that doesn't happen. I don't want that to happen to any president of the United States.
That's right.
But these people are going to get desperate. Kamala slides in. Who's VP?
Well, you know, Joe Biden said that if the day ever came, he'd fake an illness and step aside and give the presidency to Kamala Harris. But you're saying if Joe Biden, like if his brain fell out of his ear one day when he was banging his head on the heel of his hand, and his little pea-sized brain fell out on the ground and he couldn't be president anymore, and Kamala became president, who would become her vice president? We should go to Las Vegas on that one. What do you think, Mike? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? You know, I mean, I hate to laugh, but, you know, she's not up to the job. Joe Biden's not up to the job. Kamala Harris is not up to the job. And if she became president, God forbid, I'm signing the cross, who would be her pick? It would be up to her to pick her vice president, assuming Joe has stepped aside and isn't participating in the discussion. She would become president. Joe Biden retires. He goes to his multi-million-dollar oceanfront house in Delaware, one of them, and watches Hazel all day long on a loop. And then Kamala gets to pick her vice president. You know, like when, Gerald Ford, after Spiro Agnew resigned over tax issues from the time he was governor in the state of Maryland, he resigned as vice president. Richard Nixon picked, of course, Gerald Ford to be from the House of Representatives, Michigan, to be his vice president. Then Richard Nixon resigned. Gerald Ford became president. And anybody, who did Gerald Ford pick to be his vice president? Who did he pick? Huh? Most people don't remember this. Nelson Rockefeller of the Rockefeller family fame became vice president. He had been governor of New York and became vice president of the United States. And he never moved into the vice president's mansion because it wasn't nice enough. His house was nicer. And he was the first president eligible to live into the newly reallocated home at the U.S. Naval Observatory. That's now the vice president's residence. Nelson Rockefeller paid out of his own pocket to have it restored and refurbished, but he never moved in because his house was nicer. The first vice president to live in there was, of course, Jimmy Carter's vice president, Walter Mondale. A little history.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Companies. If you thought you missed your chance to refinance and save, think again. Mortgage rates have recently dropped, and Rocket Mortgage can help you save big when you call 8338-ROCKET today. For example, with a $250,000 30-year fixed rate mortgage, you could get a new low rate under 3%. If your current rate is over 3.75%, you could lower your payment by over $100 a month, saving thousands in interest. But you've got to act now, because no one knows how long these low rates will last. So when you need a simple way to get big savings, Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket. Refinance offer assumes a rate of 2.99%, 3.21% APR, 70% loan-to-value ratio for the cost of 1.75 points. $4,375 due at closing. Monthly payment of $1,052.66. Taxes and insurance not included. Payment will be greater. Rates current as of 7/26/21. Conditions apply. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Angie's List is now Angie. And caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tech, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
I need tech that can make me as productive in my home office as I am at my office.
It's possible with Staples Connect.
How about a PC that'll help me get the most out of my day and my budget?
Staples Connect makes it possible with the tools you need to work from anywhere. And now get up to $160 off select PCs, like the Asus VivoBook laptop with Intel Core i5 processor. Explore what's new at your local Staples or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Ends 10/2, in-store only, limit 2.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. and it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
When kids need medical care, they will often face stressful and life-changing experiences. They miss out on the things that make being a kid fun. Starlight Children's Foundation has delivered happiness to 17 million seriously ill kids and their families at more than 800 children's hospitals and healthcare facilities. Our programs entertain and inspire hospitalized kids. Learn more at starlight.org. That's starlight.org.
Furnished by Starlight Children's Foundation.
Yeah, these people are very disturbing. The left is very, very dishonest. And it turns out that on this fake backdrop for Joe Biden's vaccine booster shot, with the fake window, the fake magnolia tree, the fake West Wing, the fake Rose Garden, the lawn at the White House, Facebook has flagged people posting this and pointing out that it's fake because they're combating fake news by striking down real news, I guess. And it turns out that the Poynter Institute, this left-wing media group, that's just another front group of shills for the Democrat Party, they have a relationship, the Poynter Institute does, with Facebook that they proudly point to in this this phony baloney review. It's an auditorium that the set isn't even facing the audience. It's facing the cameras. It's like a TV set. Okay. All right. So they got a TV set and a fake window and a fake lawn. And then PolitiFact tells you that really it's real unless you read every word and find, well, wait a minute. It is a set. And the Duratran is fake and the tree is fake and the lawn is fake and the window is fake. There are two windows that are fake. The columns are fits like a set. It's only, you know, 10 feet high, and then the ceiling is another 10 feet higher than that, and there are TV lights up there. It's a television set. Admit it. But they're working in concert with Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, billionaire oligarch, to trample reality.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.